about.
Don't hang up on me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me? And I will! So just listen to me. Listen to what you do to me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I'm the dude, so that's what you call me, you know, that or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Nobody cares, asshole.
Give me 10 cc's of penicillin. Penicillin.
What the hell is that? What is penicillin?
Penicillin. Oh, what the hell is that?
That got unhealthy real quick. That, okay, that's, yeah, that's weird. That is well out of the mainstream.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What are you people, on dope?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Roll another one.
What is sadomasochism?
Just like the other one.
I'm looking at a copyright.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You're a special kind of monster.
I need another
hit. It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Don't you get it? I don't know.
Roll.
Mumford, Tennessee. Hello.
Just like the other one.
I'm ignoring you because you make me sad.
This one seems to be about sense.
Okay, it's got to be the Mexican.
I don't have another sense.
Oh, yeah.
But the Mumford best joint.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very high.
Just pass it around.
Sorry to crash the sausage party.
That's not brown rice.
And now,
in one moment, we'll come face to face with the moment of truth.
Our feature presentation.
Gotta tell you, it's good to hear that's not brown rice again. Revisit that one.
That was a classic moment, but I can't put that in context in my head. Why did Beer Mug say that so
emphatically? Yeah, I don't remember. What?
He thought it was...
I had misconstrued that's not joke, and I had no idea what it was about, and it was to a story that Kevin was telling how he found food in the trash, and if I would eat it, and I was trying to be funny, didn't understand the joke, and it was just a massive, epic fail.
All right. Okay. Well, it's what you'll be remembered for. So.
Morning, everybody.
You got that going for you.
It's Friday morning, the 6th of double December.
I'm warning you guys that my smoke alarm went off about 20 minutes ago. Just one time, it just boop, 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 and then it stopped.
That's a lame sounding alarm right there.
That's not a very good representation of what it really sounded like. It was actually fairly terrifying to have that happen in a quiet house at 5 o'clock in the morning. But just
don't
warning
spark
you, in case,
up.
I don't know what it – I can't imagine what it was. What's that mean when it goes off and there's no heat, there's no cooking, there's nothing going on?
Sometimes it can be a warning that the battery's getting low.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't the chirp, you know?
Oh, all right.
It wasn't that at all. So that's – I'm just warning you guys in case that happens
all
again.
Right.
That's what's happening here. I'm hoping it – obviously it won't.
I'm hoping it will.
Here's a phone topic we have to do. And you guys tell me, have we ever done this before? What you did – to the other man or other woman when you found out about him or her?
We visited that topic. I'm not sure we did that specifically.
Because this is a great story about a couple of doctors in Texas. She is 42-year-old Angela Seiler Fisher. She is the medical director of the Ben Taub General Hospital in Houston. She's also a teacher at Baylor College of Medicine. So you'd think she'd be pretty together, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Her husband, Brandon, is a radiologist at the same hospital. Well... on Sunday, the lady doctor found out that her husband, the man doctor, had been cheating on her with a coworker, a radiologist.
Okay.
So she went over to the other woman's house and kicked in the doggy door.
All right.
Went into the house and did a lot of crazy stuff, including, by the way, taking photos of the other woman's bedroom and then texting them to the other woman.
Sweet. Oh, no.
How terrifying must that be? The other woman's at work. She starts getting texts from this doctor who she knows, obviously, in the hospital because she's sleeping with her, you know, her husband. And she's texting from inside her bedroom.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. Putting on her clothes and stuff?
Well, it doesn't say she did that. No. It does say that she took lipstick and wrote whore on the bathroom mirror, which I think is a go-to female move. Right, Lisa?
Totally, yes.
Well, I think that's step one in any kind of revenge. Yeah. You must start there, and then you can move on to whatever else is next.
She also scattered condoms throughout the house, including one on every step going up to the bedroom.
Good.
Wow.
Good.
Which I think is nice. I think that's actually considerate to give the other woman some protection to use.
Now, this is a doctor. Did you say this is a doctor? They were both.
Yes. She is a doctor, and the other woman is a radiologist. Yes, exactly. When she called the other woman from her own house and screamed at her, saying that she would dislocate her vagina.
Ooh.
Now,
is that a medical term thing?
She is a doctor.
Can you dislocate your vagina?
She's the medical director of a hospital in Houston. So I assume, Kevin, she knows what she's talking about. If she says she's going to dislocate someone's vagina.
What a bizarre threat.
Sure, there's a way to do that. She also wrote home wrecker in addition to whore. And she, by the way, has been arrested. It's been an interesting story in Houston because a lot of people are saying, hey, I don't blame her. She did the right thing. Her husband was screwing around with this woman. This other woman got what she wanted. But unfortunately, the law doesn't see it that way. And she has been arrested for misdemeanor harassment and trespassing charges. And we'll see what happens to her. But I think that would be a fascinating topic. If you went and confronted the other man or other woman, what did you do and how did it go?
Yeah, it's always sort of funny to me that you choose the other person.
Yeah, they're not the one with the commitment to you.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing in this article about what she did to her husband, and that's not to say that something wasn't done, but maybe it didn't break the law.
Oh, he did.
or he did. And she got away with it.
All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why don't you take 15 minutes and really think about whether or not you want to be part of this?
I think I do today.
Okay,
it's a pretty good show. We're going to talk to the new USC coach, Steve Sarkisian.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to talk to Maggie Q, the star of Nikita.
Yes.
One of my favorite shows. We have Miss Double December contestant coming in, Allie.
Fantastic.
Allie L. is going to be coming into the studio. Very excited about that as we get started to know the girls as you vote. We have Chris D'Elia in the studio. He has a special on Comedy Central, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he does an impression of a drunk girl that is Ralph's impression of me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're watching this exact same impression, and that bothers me. Movie Beat, because it's Friday, we're going to talk about the spoiler alerts, because we need some guidance. I especially do. And we've got your tickets for both nights. And by the way, this is tomorrow and Sunday.
Yeah, this is it, right?
We've got your tickets for the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's coming up this morning as well.
Now, when you say this is it, Lisa, you mean this is it, right?
I think I mean this is it. I could be wrong, but I think this is it.
Showbiz Beat. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's that drum riff? What did they rip that off from? Some Buddy Holly song or something? It sounds like something.
Like Every Day, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
You like beats?
Sounds really. I like beats. Red drummer race.
Dear Kevin and Bean, while the lineup for this year's Acoustic Christmas shows are great, I will donate $25,000 to the charity for tickets to either show if Dislocated Vagina is on the bill. Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry. They're not able to make it this year. P.S. Fire Beer Mug says Craig Callahan. Thank you for listening, sir. It is Friday morning of Acoustic Christmas weekend. As we mentioned, we've got tickets you can win later on today's show. Right now, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
No, it's Peggy Sue, right? Peggy Sue.
There you go.
Sue. Oh, wow, like my Sue. Heart burns for you. Oh, Peggy. Right? Isn't that drum riff?
I don't.
Ralph's turning into the human jukebox. Yesterday, we were getting some Against All Odds from Phil Collins.
Yeah, I do it all, man.
It's like a little jukebox from hell, though.
Got a little Sound of Music. He was doing a little bit of that for us yesterday as well. Today, a little Buddy Holly. What's next?
Anybody watch The Sound of Mucus last night? Anybody check
no.
out?
No.
I saw enough of it to know how awful it was for me.
It has been. Everyone I talked to dared to watch any. Said it was repugnant.
Really?
It was just off the charts bad.
Oh, now I wish I would have watched.
Me too.
I can't put my finger on what was so awful about it, though.
I heard she was not good in the role.
Like her singing was fine.
I never even saw her.
She was not.
I never even saw Carrie Underwood in the time I was watching.
That's, oh, really?
Yeah.
How do you avoid her? It's the Sound of Music. She's Maria.
She's a I know. Pretty big part of it was all the kids and the commander, the commandant, or whatever that guy's. Yeah, who is he?
What's the commandant? They took it and they placed it in a war camp. It's a re-envisioning of the Sound of Music.
What's
he's
the
in a POW camp?
He's the commandant. What's the Christopher Plummer role? What's he? Is he the commander?
He's Baron von Trapp.
I never. Yeah, I saw a lot of him.
Not the commandant. The Baron.
I couldn't remember. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was all they were talking about on social media last night was just people just making fun of it, just howling over how bad it was.
Oh, I wish I would have known it was that bad.
That's how I feel. Now. Oh, I wish I'd watch.
What a bummer.
And I think it was 3 hours long, you guys.
Oh, my God. My lordy. All right. Well, never mind. How fun does this sound? According to Us Weekly Magazine, there is a Hollywood group of Xbox One players that get together several nights a week after midnight and just talk crap and play against each other. Here's your lineup. Here's the guys who are playing together.
All right.
Will Arnett.
Awesome.
Jason Sudeikis. Jerry O'Connell. And Justin Theroux. How fun does that sound?
Wow.
Love it. It sounds awesome.
So funny. It's the next generation. Most guys get together to play poker or golf. These guys are playing Xbox One together. So we are in the new age. Don't believe
now,
are
they playing together in the same room? Or is
no. Xbox One, you play
from wherever, right?
Yeah. Over the internets with each other. Yeah.
That is fun. That's more fun.
Don't believe the rumors. Lindsay Lohan's telling us. And reportedly dating Michael Neeson. That name sounds familiar to you. Well, it's because it is the son of Liam Neeson. Liam's 18-year-old son. New York Post says that Lindsay was spotted bringing her boy toy into the women's restroom at a Manhattan nightclub.
All right, now.
Dragging Michael Neeson into the ladies' room. Maybe she just needed some help.
Yeah.
Maybe she needed some help with something.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay, for the record, is saying they are not dating, they're just friends. Which I hope is the case because she starred with his late mother, Natasha Richardson, in The Parent Trap. So it could get all kinds of
That's a little weird, creepy.
if they are indeed seeing each other. But who knows? Do we know? We don't know.
We don't know. We choose to accept.
Whew, this movie sounds awful. Stand-up comedian Kevin Hart. Do you know Kevin Hart?
I know of his work, yeah.
Little guy, he's don't back in.
Yep.
He's the new Chris Tucker.
Why don't you guys get in the ring and fight together?
Right.
He's in that grudge match, right?
Yeah.
I actually spent a little time with Kevin Hart on an airplane to Philadelphia because he's a Philadelphia boy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And he had donated an enormous amount of money to the Philadelphia public school system so they could buy new books and computers and things because Philadelphia, like many cities in the United States, is going broke. And
that's pretty cool.
They don't have money for their public school system. It was very cool. And so I was flying to Philly, and he was there, and we sat next to each other. We ended up talking, and he's a really, really sweet guy, really nice guy, and I like him a lot. All that being said.
Having said that.
He has announced he is writing a new movie and will be co-starring in a movie called Ballers. Which
Ballers.
Is about two brothers, one who is 6'8", and the other one who is 5'3". I'm assuming Kevin will play the role of the shorter brother. Who end up in a weekend fantasy basketball camp in Miami. The older brother, according to this statement, will be played by LeBron James.
What? Yay!
Oh, no.
Do you want LeBron James starring in your comedy?
I don't think I do.
I don't think you do either.
I don't know. Maybe he can pull it off, but...
Come on.
How many
what
have?
What are the odds?
I know. I agree. How many have?
Let me screen a little movie for you called Shazam.
Yeah, there's that. There was the Michael Jordan one. Was that any good?
Well, that was the Looney Tunes and everything. Space Jam was Bugs Bunny and everything else. He just had to be Michael Jordan. That you know, they were wacky cartoon characters surrounding him. So that was.
I think the odds are
didn't have any heavy lifting in there. But to co-star in a comedy with Kevin Hart,
odds are against this.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean, I can understand. It's like twins, right? It's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Right.
It's that kind of vibe. I get that. But I don't know if you want LeBron James starring in your comedy movie.
I don't know if it's written well enough. Maybe he can pull it off.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, Mike Tyson is an example of a guy who I thought didn't ruin The Hangover.
Cameo. Cameos. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
I can see that. You want to have LeBron show up in the basketball camp as himself? I absolutely get that.
Yeah.
You want him co-starring, carrying half the comic weight
a little different.
Of a film?
Yeah.
A little different.
Yeah. I think you're axing for trouble. Today's celebrity birthdays, if some of these sound familiar to you, that's because Dave, the King of Mexico, mistakenly wrote down these birthdays yesterday on the list.
Oh, no.
Why do you ever take his input?
Why?
On anything ever.
On a daily basis, I'm getting burned by him, and I continue to go back like a, right. like a fool.
You need to dislocate his vagina, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Not my fault.
Johnny Football. Johnny Manziel celebrates his 21st birthday today. Quarterback for Texas A&M. Kid's got the world by the shorties.
Yes, he does.
Director and writer Judd Apatow is 46 years old today, apparently.
Again?
As is guitarist Peter Buck of R.E.M., apparently celebrating his birthday today.
Okay.
So, 2 days of celebrating the birthdays for those guys. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Lisa. It is 25 minutes after 6, a time of morning that we normally do not have guests.
No.
Well, comedians, right? though, no. comedians love 6:20 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's the best of all possible times to be funny. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. If you're that is if you're up still from the night before.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I don't wake up
our,
this early.
Next guest is someone who was referred to by one of his followers on Twitter as one of the funniest white comedians around, Chris D'Elia, George's hey. Studio here at the Academy.
That's right.
That's quite a compliment you got from your follower
I retweeted
follower
that
there,
guy. Yeah, I retweeted that guy.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Just as specific as you can get, really, with a compliment is what I like.
That's a pretty weird category.
Yeah. Funniest white comedian that is 6'2". Wearing a hoodie.
So, yeah. Chris, let's catch up with what what you got going on. I know you're here because time is of the essence because your TV comedy special airs tonight.
That's right.
White Male Black Comic.
That's
that is
right.
going to be on Comedy Central. Obviously, that's what it's called, White Male Black Comic.
Of course.
But you you worked last night? You were at the the Improv last night? What were
I
you
was,
doing over there?
Yeah. They asked me to do the show. It was the 50th anniversary of the Improv. There's a birthday of the Improv, and they asked me to do it. A lot of times they'll ask you like weeks before. They'll be like, hey, can you do a show December, yada, yada, and you just say, yeah, cool, stage time, awesome, fun, and I'm in town. Yeah, it'll be great. And then you don't realize that it's the night before you have to wake up at 6 a.m. Mm,
right.
Or
gotcha.
5 a.m.
And you're also in the process of filming a TV show right,
right.
now. You got that going on at the same time.
Yeah, I'm headed there after this. I'm going to Warner Brothers to shoot this new show for NBC called Undateable.
Is it good?
I'm having a blast doing it. And no, it's not a reality show. Every time I say it's called Undateable. that's the comment.
Guaranteeing that you're not going to remember this interview, though. I mean, I think
well,
that
I am
schedule,
drunk. I'm completely drunk. So.
That schedule is nightmarish.
Yeah, it's tough.
Your manager hate you?
Yeah, okay. But I think any good manager should hate their clients.
Now, I know you talked about how you're excited. You know, you said automatically yes to the stage time last night because you love doing comedy. And I get that impression from you on Twitter, too, is that you are one of those guys who can't wait to get on the stage. Like, you would do it every single night if you could, it sounds like.
Yeah, I would. And I have.
What's that about?
I don't know. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. And I don't really – maybe it's that. Maybe it's the thing I'm – I just feel like I need to. I love having an audience. And, like, you know, when Twitter came along, I was like, oh, cool, I could tweet for thousands of people. This is great, you know? That's kind of who I am. I don't know. I used to go in my parents' bedroom when they were sleeping, and I'd be like, if I could win them over and make them laugh when they're sleeping, then that means I'm funny, you know?
But they were just your parents. So
no, no, no,
nice.
I know. No, no, no. Well, yeah, but I would not when they were sleeping. I'd be like, hey, guys, wake up. I have something to say to you.
We have a lot of comedians on the show, and it's always so fascinating to see how differently people work. Like, we just had Mike Birbiglia in again yesterday.
Oh, he's great.
And I love that guy.
Great.
He's so
great.
Funny and so smart. But he's a guy who takes a show on the road and massages
right.
it for
right.
years.
Right.
I mean, he says that his manager has to take shows away from him so that he'll stop doing it and move on to something else. Hmm. You're the exact opposite. You don't ever write jokes.
Yeah, I don't write. I don't write my stuff. Yeah, I go up with ideas. It's more fun for me because it's like hectic. Because, I mean, if you sit down and think about, oh, this is funny, that's funny, I could say this on stage, that'll probably work, then it's less fun. If I can go on with an idea and then work it out on stage, and the thought of it maybe not working like excites me, you know, to get into that.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean,
is it excite/terrify?
Yeah, it's like an adrenaline thing, you know. I think I know who I am on stage, and I think I'm able to understand how I'm funny and to translate that. So I don't really get scared to say, you know, I also, like, I perform over there's 365 days in a year. I perform more than 365 shows a year. So it's like I'm on stage. I'm on stage all the time. So it's like here's the thing. I read this article once about these jiu-jitsu guys, the Gracie guys, where they were just on their back all day, and they were like, if I can be on my back all day and learn how to fight and train all day, then it would just become second nature to me, and it would be easier than walking. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. If I could just get on stage as much as I can possibly be on stage, then that would be more comfortable to me than being at a party.
Did you do it that way at the beginning? When you were starting, did you do it that way, where you just go in with a concept? And
No. When I started, I would write stuff.
You would?
Yeah, because I didn't know who I was and what I was doing on stage, you know? And that works as well. It was less fun for me. But it was still fun, but it's more fun for me to go up with an idea and work it out.
So how do you handle hecklers? Because surely there will be people during some times where they can see that you're transitioning material, and they'll yell stuff out, or it's not what they expected. What do you do with that?
I would say that I think I probably get heckled more than any other comedian.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. I've spent time thinking about this, but I think it's just like my vibe. Like, I kind of give off this like I'm laughing on stage and I'm having a good time, and it seems like I try to make it like we're all friends, and I feel like people feel familiar with me, which is good. It's something you want on stage.
Right.
But then people will just, sometimes it's negative heckling, but also I get a lot of like positive heckling where people won't shut up and they're just like, woo, yeah, you know, and like, yeah, you, hey, do the thing where you do that, you know, and it's like.
They don't shout out bits, do they?
Yeah. But it's also like, and it's sweet, and you realize that they're liking you, but they're liking you like in the wrong way. It's like, this is still a show,
right?
And still definitely be quiet because I got to do my stuff.
This is where I talk and you listen.
It's positive heckling.
I just had a terrible flashback to my uncle who liked me very much, but in the wrong way.
So,
I know what you're talking about.
Where you thought it was going.
Chris D'Elia is here. Again, the special is called White Male Black Comic. We want to find out more about that. Recorded, Kevin, you'll be happy to know, at the Civic Theater in New Orleans.
How about that?
So how drunk was that audience? I guess we'll find out all about the special that airs tonight, December 6th. At midnight on Comedy Central. More with our guest right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Kevin, your girlfriend Maggie Q from Nikita joins us in about 20 minutes.
Oh, she's awesome.
We'll talk to the new head coach for USC, the return of Steve Sarkisian to the Trojans program. That's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, you can still win your tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas shows this weekend. Chris D'Elia in studio with us right now. His special airs tonight on Comedy Central. You can also see it on Comedy Central Stand Up Direct on iTunes, Xbox Video, Amazon. It's really on you if you don't see the special, because he's certainly making it available. It is called White Male Black Comic, and it airs tonight at midnight on Comedy Central.
I'll also do it for you if you tweet me. I'll just show up and do the act.
That's nice too.
Yeah.
Tell us about the special, by the way. Tell us what you're excited about it, Chris.
I am excited that, man, I mean, I don't know. I've worked so hard on it. Like, it's just cool to have. I mean, I've been doing stand-up now for about almost 8 years, and it's just all that. All the 8 years of me working hard and my material and what I've decided to put in the hour, and it's just cool, man.
Do you have to leave stuff out that you loved?
Well, you know what? I left stuff out that I do love, but I had already done it on TV, and I don't, you know, it's like you try not to duplicate it. But another thing that's really special about this special is that my dad directed it. I got
what?
Yeah, he's a director, and.
Thank God he's a director.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I mean, since
he works at Crate and Barrel, and I just said, you know what? Let's keep this a family thing. It was cool. And the joke in our family now is, you know, he's supported me so much through everything. I mean, growing up, and now I've finally got him this job, so I paid him back and we're square.
There you go. I like it. I like it. Now, are you a little worried to do certain material in front of him, or does that
hit me at all?
Not at all.
Like I said, if I, you know, if my dad and my mom is there, I don't want to do something, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should do this. I absolutely make it a point to do it.
Yeah.
Just because it excites me.
You are a daredevil, Chris.
I don't want to jump off any buildings, but in that respect, I am, yeah.
People always ask you about your singing vines that you do, which are very funny, by the way.
Thanks, man.
A, do you sing, do you incorporate any kind of music at all into your stand-up? And B, talk about the singing vines and how that started.
That is just... Here's the thing. I think singing is ridiculous.
That's a crazy stance.
I understand, and I understand I'm on a radio show right. here. But to break singing down is just so silly to me. It's like your voice is an instrument, and like you just like there are notes you have to hit, and it's beautiful. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And sometimes it's like a song comes on and it's so emotional, and you get caught up in the emotion, and you start to tear up, and that's hilarious to me because it's it's really just sounds, you know. And so I think it's funny to look, I'm not a singer at all, you know, and so I think it's funny to make the songs more beautiful in my mind. Mm-hmm. And since I'm a comedian, I guess it comes out in a funny way, but I do that. And yeah, I do sing, in this special, but I don't, my closing bit is this like 8 minute bit on church and the Catholic Church. And it has to do with the priest singing and how it's, you know, it was just, oh,
right.
And I do that in the same way I do on my vines, just, you know, very beautifully.
Yeah. Yes, you definitely throw yourself into it, which I do think is funny. You are a hip-hop fan.
Yeah, I'm a big hip-hop fan, yeah.
How'd you grow up a hip-hop fan? I'm always confused because I feel like everyone is a hip-hop yeah. fan now. I feel like there are fewer and fewer people who grew up and love rock music
yeah.
like I did and do. And yeah. I'm wondering how that happened. I'm always curious to find out.
I personally like, well, when I heard Tupac first, I was like, this guy is amazing because I'm not like him at all, but I, for some reason, I can identify with the way he feels. And to me, that was amazing because we have such different backgrounds.
Right.
Obviously, that it was more impressive to me that he could, like, in a way speak to me. And so once I heard Tupac, I really started listening to other, rappers, and I liked it. Like I said, to me, singing and music is silly to me. And the fact that rap and hip-hop wasn't singing and that they were literally just talking these things and rapping, that you could say more in a song as a rapper because just the timing of it.
Right.
You know, you
right,
just
right.
And I liked that because I like to know more about the artist. And to me, it's all about the lyrics. Like listening to anything, is if the lyrics speak to me, then I like the song, no matter what it sounds like.
That's funny because I'm the opposite. I love a song
sure.
and have no idea what it's
sure.
about.
Yeah. I mean, I get that too. Then that makes sense to me because if you're, you know, if musically you're into it, then you know, that's what makes sense. But
yeah.
How old were you when you first heard Tupac?
I was in my teens. I mean, I was probably 15. You
know. And was he still, those were when his records were out in Current, right?
He was
a Current artist.
Yeah, he was, he had died right around the time where I started listening to him heavily. And I was, yeah, that was around the
He's
same
still
time.
A Current artist, Bean.
I know.
For the record.
That's true.
I know.
Hey, they're finally, just now in 2013, starting to slow down on the Tupac releases.
Yeah.
Did it seem like he was coming out with an album or two a year for like 10 more years after
yeah.
he died?
Yeah, I know that all those people were like, he's still alive. And you're like, no, he's not. But it's so hard to argue that because he keeps coming out with new music.
Right, exactly.
I was like, how did he say, how is he rapping about Eminem? He wasn't even he wasn't even around.
How does he know about President Obama?
I know.
Weirdest thing.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, we do have a total
Did he just
generation.
Rap about the Kardashians?
A total generation of white guys who grew up with hip hop, and it's their favorite music.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, you were talking to one. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting that we're at this point. All right. Well, I can't believe we're almost out of time. After all this time of wanting to have Chris D'Elia on the show, he stops by, and now we've got to kick him out.
I
feel terrible about it, but it was super fun to meet you. The special looks great. It is called White Male Black Comic. It airs tonight on Comedy Central and all those other formats that we talked about. Be the first to see the Chris D'Elia special on your Xbox video. Why not tonight,
yeah.
right? Good luck with it, man. It looks awesome.
Thank you, man. I'm excited about it, and I'll be back.
Thanks for coming.
We'll see you again. Happy holidays. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
You can go to KROQ.com and vote for who you'd like to be Miss Double December 2014, and we'll meet the first of our 10 finalists coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She'll be in studio. Plus, Ralph's got the movie beat, and we'll talk to actress Maggie Q. That's all coming up. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, don't forget, tonight! At the Hollywood Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
It's been a couple weeks. Kevin's been making a movie about a guy who turns another guy into a walrus. But that's all over with. That fever dream is now ended. And we're going back to business as usual with Hollywood Babylon tonight at 10 p.m. We'd love to have you come out and join us. Go to improv.com and get your tickets there. And then also next Friday we'll be doing it. And then on New Year's Eve down there in Brea.
California. We're going to go to the OC for New Year's, and that'll be the end for 2013. Can you believe it's almost over?
How about that?
The whole year is almost over.
It's crazy.
It's madness. All I know is I am going to Wendy's for the rest of my life.
As am
I. I don't know if you heard about this story or not, but apparently a Wendy's employee in Lovejoy, Georgia, ended up in jail last month after she allegedly misplaced the joint she was smoking inside a burger that she served to a customer.
Yay!
Originally, I thought it was, when I read the headline, I thought it was like a bag of weed or something. She was just sprinkling it in. It was actually a joint.
Man, this burger has a strange odor. Oh, there's a half-smoked joint in my burger.
See, I'm...
And the best part is the girl, when they went to the burger, when she's like, yeah, I did that. I was smoking a doobie, and I knew I lost it and must have gone in the burger.
Didn't know where it was.
Yeah. So, I'm just saying, go to Wendy's.
By the way, the person that...
That's not pot.
The person that that found that called 911.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for God's
Don't
sake.
You go up to the front and give them like a bonus?
She had food poisoning-type symptoms after the incident, Kevin. She had to be hospitalized with a tainted blunt burger.
I would have gone back and given her a tip.
You would have gone back for seconds.
I would have.
Where's the rest of the doobie? This, what I'm talking about, this is good television. Reality TV, finally, I can get behind.
All right.
It's called Botched.
Botched.
Botched, a reality show where two plastic surgeons will try to fix your plastic surgery mistakes.
Ooh. Oh, there's a lot of those.
There's a lot of those. Everything from bad tummy tucks to off-center nose jobs. Can you imagine someone putting your nose back on off-center?
No.
That would be bad.
That would be bad, yeah.
Series scheduled to debut next fall. Dr. Terry DeBrow and Dr. Paul Nassif will be the surgeons in residence, and they will fix you when you're all effed up.
How long till they have a celebrity version so they can fix up Kenny Rogers?
Oh, he's beyond help.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, you'd have to skin his skull and just start from scratch.
She's got fake boobs, fake lips, fake nose, fake cheekbones. She's fake.
Jenna Jameson, too, by the way. She needs to get on that show.
Yeah, she's done too much. Mel B from the Spice Girls has a genius idea that I 100% support.
Is this sporty?
No, this is scary.
Scary.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Scary wants to put the band back together for a residency in Las Vegas. How genius is that? I get to go to Vegas. I get to win all the money that I always win when I go there.
Always.
And then I get to spend some of those winnings on an evening with my girls. The Spice Girls in concert in Vegas all the time.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. That's right. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I want a zigzag. Every time I go to Vegas.
I can see drunk Ralph in there.
Oh, you. I would be so naked.
I would just be
naked, twirling my underwear over my head.
What do you think the financial situation is for the girls? I mean, obviously, Posh doesn't need the money, but what about the others?
I would need the money, I'm guessing.
You think so?
You think so?
Look, I'm sure they're fine, but I'm sure they're not when they were in the peak of the Spice Girls.
Right, no, yeah, of course. The Spice Girls are not a band, I assume, that has a big catalog that's bringing them a lot of money every year, you know?
I would think it would be in England, though.
That's true.
Who's going out and buying Spice Girls records, though, in 2013?
I don't know.
I don't know what other kind of income streams they have from their material. You know, obviously, occasionally the movie or whatever, but they don't have a lot of money coming in, I don't think.
As always, the fly in the ointment.
Yep.
The spanner in the works.
That's right.
The monkey wrench in the machine.
Is.
Victoria. Posh.
Yes. Posh. Because she doesn't need it.
Victoria Beckham.
Ridiculously wealthy.
Has just horrible, horrible wealth.
Surely doesn't just have too much to know what to do with.
She does. And she, of course, has her own fashion line. She's got four kids. And according to insiders, doesn't really have the time or, more importantly, the desire to work on performing again. Because it's not easy doing that show. They dance a lot and stuff. I mean, you could tell it. What was it, the Olympics? Where the last time they performed?
I don't know.
What was that big event? It was a big event in London. It must have been the Olympics.
I think so. I think that's what it was.
They brought them all out in different vehicles, and they all performed together for the first time. They got a reunion together. And Posh was just like,
just like barely moving in the background. It's like she had just shown up and did not learn the choreography. It was just.
But
a
I mean, look, you can't. You also can't blame her. It's not her fault that the others
didn't
want
to
do
so.
No, but I mean, that's like blaming Justin Timberlake because NSYNC won't get back together. Well, Justin Timberlake doesn't need to. You know what I mean? Same thing.
No, it isn't the same thing.
But if you're an NSYNC fan, I would think you would blame Justin Timberlake.
First of all, yes, you would.
Of course.
Secondly, Justin Timberlake has a wildly successful solo career. He's been creating great music. I never picked up the Posh solo album.
But what I'm saying is, in both cases, they're the ones who went off and created a life post-band. And you can't blame them for not wanting to go back.
Create
to
a life post-band. She married a dude. That's what she did.
She's got a lot of wealth on her own. As well. I'm just saying.
All Ralph's trying to do is get the Spice Girls in Las Vegas. That's all he's
trying. That's all. Why are you fighting me on this? Why is this such a bad thing?
I hope it happens.
Tell her to put her lame husband, who never plays soccer anymore, aside and just get back to work.
Well, he's retired.
Yeah, well, because they had to shoot him, right? He broke a hoof or something.
I don't think that's how it works.
Put him down.
I'm not positive that's how it works.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous the Spice Girls aren't in Vegas.
I didn't know you were such a big fan, Rob.
Oh, I love my Spice Girls. That ginger especially. Oh, ginger. Ginger snaps. You know what I'm saying? This.
Stop it. Stop making those motions.
Gross.
I don't think you understand what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
You sure? Today's celebrity birthdays. If some of these sound familiar, Dave the King Mexico is doubling up on me. Peter Buck of R.E.M. is 57. Yeah, I know I said it yesterday. Leave me alone.
Is it yesterday or today?
It's today. Officially today.
Not my fault.
It is your fault. Judd Apatow is 46 years old today.
Again.
And Johnny Manziel. Johnny Football. Texas A&M quarterback. 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Kevin, what's your contingency plan? How are you going to go on after Nikita's off the air? You got something in place, or what are you going to substitute
yet.
In your life?
I don't yet. I'll probably turn to booze.
You are going to have a Maggie Q-sized hole in your heart for the rest of your life until she gets back on your TV.
That's very
Nikita
true.
Nikita airs Friday nights at 9 on the CW. We couldn't be more excited to welcome Miss Q back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good to talk to you. I'm sorry that Nikita is coming to an end. I'm sorry that's why we are talking to you, but it's been a great run.
I'm so blessed. It's sort of like if it went on, I would be blessed. And now that it's ending, I'm sort of blessed for new opportunity. So I just hope the fans will be satisfied.
It's sort of like the arc that your character has played on this show has been trying to quit since day one.
Yeah, it's sort of fitting. The show could have ended at any time because she keeps trying to get out, which you're right about. But I hope, because we finished it. It's done, and, you know, it'll be airing by Christmas. You'll know who's dead and who's not.
Fantastic.
I'm pretty happy with the way we wrapped it up.
Well, you've been saying in interviews these past few weeks that as an actress, man, what a blessing to get a heads up far enough in advance that the writers can put together a storyline that everybody's happy with rather than just trying to, you know, either not be able to wrap up a series or have to hustle and finish it in two episodes. I mean, you guys had the luxury of time, which isn't often the case in television.
Totally. It's so true. It's one of those things where, I mean, I've never done television before. This was my first time on TV, and you know, people tell me horror stories about, you know, sort of you get a call and then don't come to work the next day. You know, it's just done. It's over.
Yeah.
And I think Warner Brothers was really lovely in that sense that I think they understood sort of the fan base of the show and what people wanted to see. And they sort of, you know, it was done and they let us wrap it up. And that's always a huge gift, I think.
I want to ask you a question, and this might involve spoilers, which I am very bad with, I've been told. So I'm giving people spoilers. Spoiler alert. So I'm giving people the heads up if they're a little behind or something. But
okay.
I would like to ask you about the over-the-top. Here's what I like about Nikita. The storylines are so ridiculously over-the-top, and yet you pull them off. Like, you're suspected of killing the president, and then we find out the president's a double. What? I mean, it's just ridiculous stuff that somehow you're able to pull off.
Here's the thing, though. The technology does sort of exist. I mean, all of this is rooted in stuff that it was researched by our writers. So the truth really is stranger than fiction, and sometimes the truth is so wacky that you actually kind of engulfed here with the truth because nobody would believe it, which is the irony.
Yeah. So Maggie, so which I hear what you're saying, so I have to ask the follow-up. Which president was, in fact, a double then?
Oh, well, I can't hear you that now.
Oh. So we have to watch and find out?
You got to wait. I mean, we've killed presidents before, as sad as that is. You know, so it's sort of this strange sort of, I don't think that, I think if, by the way, if Nikita was on cable, we would have just killed the president.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But we're not. And so I think that the network had a real problem with, you know, sort of how dark we want it to be and how far we want it to go.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, I think it's a happier place to be with their other shows. And with us, we were always a sort of dark horse, literally.
Yeah.
And so there's certain concessions you have to make when you're uncertain, you know, like on cable, there'd be no whole part, right?
I like the, technology part of, Berkoff being able to hack into any building from any government and get their live feed within 15 seconds. It's absurd.
You know, we had a guy, we were in Comic-Con and we had some tech guy stand up and give Aaron Stanford, the actor who plays Berkoff, some sort of algorithm. And he was sort of like, well, sir, you know, when you did this, this really didn't compute with it. And Aaron just goes, dude, I just play a nerd. I'm not.
I'm just an actor.
I don't know
right.
What you're talking about.
She refers to me as nerd. I'm nerd. Stop asking me questions.
This is the voice of actress Maggie Q here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Nikita in its final season on the CW. It airs Friday nights at 9. You know, I heard Judd Nelson is on the show tonight. And that doesn't sound like it could be right, Maggie.
Doesn't sound like it could be right to you, and it didn't seem real when it was happening to me.
So it is real, and he is on tonight.
He really is on tonight, and he's got a couple episodes, actually. He's got, like, a little arc on our show, and it was so... It's funny, because there are people on the show who are young enough not to know who Judd Nelson is.
Right,
of course.
Sadly.
Of course. Yeah.
And then there are people like me. And I was actually so excited, and what's funny about Judd Nelson is he looks exactly the same.
He hasn't aged at all?
Wow. He really hasn't. And Judge, you know, he's done some stuff in his life. He's no joke. So I don't know how it didn't affect his look or anything, but he really looks, it's so odd. It's odd. He's just not wearing a jean jacket and motorcycle boots. That's all.
Now, we've had two episodes, right? And then tonight is third. And then, what, there's three more by Christmas?
Yeah, that's it. So your Christmas gift.
Wow.
How will you spend the night in our remaining moments, Maggie? How will you spend the night of the final episode airing? Are you going to be getting together with cast or anything like that, or will everybody be on the phone or on Twitter or what?
I don't know. You know, I think what I should do, because I think that people really like the live tweeting sort of thing during an episode. Maybe I'll do that during the finale, which I don't really get, because the truth is I can't keep up.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to really do that. I'm going to try to do it properly, just as a nice goodbye, but. Thanks for that question. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Maggie, I just want to say this. I've tried it, and it didn't go well. So,
right? It's not just me. I'm not the only person who can't function in that world.
Correct, yes.
Yes, exactly. Okay. All right, well, we're almost out of time, and just like the CW is almost out of Nikita, so you definitely want to still jump on board and see the finale of this very popular series, which is what, five seasons it's been, right? Is that right, Maggie?
Four.
Okay, four seasons. Well, it's wrapping up, and you can watch it Friday nights at 9 on the CW, and I hope that we'll get a chance to talk to you next year, because we are, like most Americans, all a-Twitter about this Disclosure movie, so I hope if you have the chance, we'd love to have you come back on and talk about that next year, okay?
I appreciate that, and I will do. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What do you call that dance you're doing there, Ralph?
The cheerleader?
What do you call it?
The cheerleader?
It's a strange-ass dance.
I'm thinking there's tons of high schools who are using that number for their cheerleader pep squad
dance
numbers.
Probably so.
It's very rhythmic.
I hope they all look better than what I just saw.
I am sexy.
The speaking of sexy, the first of our 10 finalists for Miss Double December 2014, the beautiful Allie L., mm-hmm. is going to be joining us in studio coming up in the next mm-hmm. segment. First, yes, though.
Yes. I met her in the other room, mm-hmm. and she brought cannolis.
Really?
That's all mm-hmm. I know.
Okay. Right.
That's not a euphemism.
She'll be coming in. Also, Coach Sarkisian from USC next hour as well. First, though, it's Friday. Time for Ralph and the Big.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man.
who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Kevin's in a rush.
Rush. You're in a hurry. You want to play all the clips at once for all the movies just to get it out of the way?
I cut Bean off just a bit. Sorry. Wow, my bad.
You're in a hurry to get to Miss Double December.
Yeah.
Not that I can blame you. Just three new movies coming out this weekend. All of them in limited release. Well, Out of the Furnace was in limited release on Wednesday. Opens wider today. But the other two films are in limited release, which means if you want to find them, you're going to have to maybe look a little bit harder than in your local Cineplex, but it may be worth it. Starting with Inside Llewellyn Davis. This is from the Coen brothers. Gotta love the Coen brothers.
Yep.
Yes.
That's not like a qualified yes.
Well, yeah, why do you say it like that? The Coen brothers have made nothing but great movies.
Have they ever made that you didn't like? For those of you who don't know, we're talking about from Blood Simple back in the beginning to Big Lebowski, Brother Where Art Thou, Barton Fink.
Brother Where Art Thou, Blue.
Oh, come on! Oh, are you awesome.
Kidding me?
That was a terrible
that
movie.
That is an awesome film!
You asked. I'm just telling you. I didn't like it.
Aren't they Fargo also, by
Fargo,
the way?
Fargo, sure. Of course.
Classic.
Most famously. I mean, almost every... The Hudsucker Proxy. Almost every movie they make is genius!
All right.
No!
What's your problem? Is it just that this movie involves folk music, Kevin? Is that why you hate it? You just can't get past that?
It's a factor. As being mentioned in this film, Llewellyn Davis plays a young folk singer who's navigating the Greenwich Village folk scene in 1961. Oh, I see. It's, so old. It's old. It's old and it's folk. And
it's got everything I love.
Oh, Kevin, you're such a...
dolt.
Oscar Isaac stars in the film along with Carey Mulligan. John Goodman, longtime Coen Brothers collaborator, also in the film. Garrett Hedlund. Great cast. Here's a scene where Oscar Isaac, as Llewellyn Davis, is looking over his sales report for his record sales as a young artist and to varying degrees of success.
You got Cincinnati?
Yeah, you want it?
Could I have it?
Should I bring it in?
Yeah.
Do you owe me something? You have to owe me something.
I wish... People need time, you know, get to know you, buy you as a solo act, even know you're a solo act. Cincinnati is not good.
That's it, right?
Yeah, this is it. God help.
Nobody knew us when we were a duo. It's not like me and Mike were ever a big act. It's not a big re-education for the public. Mel? Mel!
How you doing, kid?
Cincinnati is not good. I'm looking forward to this movie. I care what Kevin says. Boo,
me
Kevin.
Too.
Boo!
You guys enjoy.
Last Days on Mars also opens in limited release today. Liev Schreiber, Ilias Kateas, a group of astronauts succumb one by one to a mysterious and terrifying force while collecting specimens on Mars. That sounds terrifying. Here's some clips from the trailer.
I want that site locked down.
You have to see this.
Blaine!
Do not open your bay doors! Repeat! Do not open your bay doors!
You're okay, you're okay.
Wasn't over.
Beer Mug cued me in the wrong spot.
Did he really?
Can you believe that? What are the odds?
That's not like Beer Mug to give wrong information.
Why would you do that? You can see the file. I can see that it wasn't done yet.
For me to scream.
I thought, put your hand up so they know it's not over yet. That was my only instinct. I can't imagine why he would have pointed to you.
Sorry, Kev.
That's awesome.
That's my bad for listening to Beer Mug. He goes, really, cues me like this. Like the time to go now. Hurry. Ass.
I'm just glad he's looked up from his sandwich for a minute to pay attention to the show.
I wish he wouldn't have.
And lastly, Out of the Furnace, as we mentioned, opened on Wednesday and limited release today. It is in more and more theaters. This just looks terrific. Christian Bale, Casey Affleck, Zoe Saldana, Woody Harrelson. Great cast. Rodney, played by Casey Affleck, is a bare knuckles fighter who runs afoul of the mob, and his older brother Christian Bale has to step in and try to rescue him. Looks just terrific. Here's a scene where Casey Affleck is picking up his older brother Russell, Christian Bale, from jail.
Oh, man.
How's it feel?
Oh, I think I'm running. I'm gonna run. I'm running.
Too late. Go.
Driving?
Wanna drive?
Yeah.
Say goodbye.
I didn't.
Can we get Dave on the walkie-talkie?
I didn't understand a single word of that.
Could he have picked a scene that was less representative of this film than what he did?
And longer? Dave? We just played
that
a half
was the best that was available.
That was the best that was available.
Incorrect, sir.
More so than the trailer or anything else?
Hey, I had no time for the trailer, man.
He's in a hurry.
This is what happens when you have to depend on other people to help you.
You need to start pulling your own clips.
I got Beer Mug cueing me wrong. I got Dave giving me clips of unintelligible, guttural moaning from two characters. There's nothing to do with the storyline. Why are people out to sabotage me?
It's literally impossible for you to have a good day.
It really is. No one seems to want to help me.
This movie looks good, though.
How could we tell?
Check out the trailer.
I wish I could have. I wish I could have played some of the trailer for the people.
Those of us who are listening on the radio, Dave, and not watching your computer screen didn't get that information.
Wow. Wow. I'm flummoxed. I'm gobsmacked. I'm frustrated.
Yep.
I'm going to go away now.
I don't blame you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Come on, people. Get it together.
Hey.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 7:43. It's the most wonderful time of the year, let's be honest. Time for Miss Double December.
We are about to be our first of 10 finalists all in the running to be this year's Miss Double December.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
I want to squeeze them.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Yeah! Now, before the emails and Afro calls and tweets and Facebook posts start coming in, hey, Kevin and Bean, why are you filling up the airwaves with big-boobed girls for a week? You're welcome. Allie, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Allie L. joins us in studio now.
Thank
she is the
you.
First of our 10 Miss Double D finalists. How are you, my dear? Welcome.
I am great. Thank you for having me, guys.
Of course.
First of all, tell us about these cannolis you brought, because that, my friend, was a strong move.
Well, I was going to bring fruit pie since you guys were talking about it earlier in the week. But
what you making?
But I didn't really find one, so yeah. I just decided to bring a very... sorry if I sound like Kevin and I'm like, you know, slurring my words now.
Hey.
I'm really nervous.
She's been here like 5 seconds. She's already making fun of me.
Don't be nervous. You're 100% among friends and fans. Look, you've got those and you brought food. We'd love you, okay? So you're in good. Don't worry about it. But let's meet a little bit about you, because we're going to be spending time together if you end up being named Miss Double December on the 13th. Your name is Allie. You are Allie L. for folks who are playing at home and would like to go to KevinBean.com and vote. Where are you from?
I'm from Montclair, California.
You were born and raised in Southern California?
Yes, I was.
Wow.
Okay. Really? And what are you doing for a living these days?
I have two jobs. I'm a medical assistant during the day, and at night on the weekends, I'm a
stripper?
Cocktail waitress.
Oh. Sorry to disappoint you, Kevin.
And which I go of those... to school.
Wow. You got a lot going on.
Yes.
Which of those two jobs do you like the best?
Cocktail waitressing.
Okay. That's
more fun?
Yes.
Pays more, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I get
all right,
to Kevin, dance all night.
What kind of a place are you, a cocktail waitress, where you dance?
Well, I'm a cocktail waitress at the Fox Sports Bar. It's in downtown Pomona by the Fox Theater.
Okay. Oh, nice. Are you a sports fan, too?
Not really.
Not really. <Okay. laughs> Kevin, you want to take a look at Allie's questionnaire?
If you wrote your autobiography, what would the title be? You said Miss Double D, Double D winner. Pretty quick. That's pretty quick. That's not bad. If you had one superpower, what would it be and why? It would be to be invisible so I could do whatever I want and not get caught.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I thought that was mainly a guy thing.
Yeah, because we're all thinking locker rooms. What do you have in mind with the invisibility cloak?
Locker rooms, too, for guys.
Okay, all right. You know, though, that you don't need to be invisible. You could just walk in, right? That's the difference.
That's true.
No one's going to throw you out.
That's true.
It's a waste of a superpower.
If you were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be?
Move on. Move on. Move on. Next.
We can't really.
Yeah.
That's a.
I saw it online and I'm like, was that autocorrect? Because that's not what I put in initially.
No, because it isn't what you put in, but we had to change it to be so that we could at least reference it. This is why your mom's worried, right?
Yes.
Because of this answer.
Yes,
right.
Definitely.
We found out that your mom, Allie, is. What was the warning that she gave.
My mom, she's like, please, please, don't get naked, don't get naked.
That was her only worry.
Yes.
Hey, how about a little less outside interference, Bob? How about you let us run the show, all right?
Is that because she's worried about us or because she's worried about you?
She's worried about me.
That's what I'm talking about. Good answer.
Now, you're going to be going, as soon as we say goodbye to you here, Allie L., you're going to be going in the other room and you're going to be, they're going to be filming for KevinandBean.com your talent, which is what?
Hula hoop.
Hula hoop. Now, is this something that you just have learned to do for this competition, or is this something that you had skills before we even met you?
Skills before you guys even met me.
Fantastic.
Actually, right. I was practicing last night, and I'm like, I'm not too good at this. I probably should try something else.
I like the confidence of answering without practicing. Just, you know what I can do? I can hula hoop.
How'd you hear about the competition, and what made you decide to pull the trigger and go ahead and enter online to be Miss Double December?
I heard about it last year. And I thought, why not this year, especially since you get free concerts? That's the main reason.
Yes.
That's all right.
Yeah. We should mention that the winner goes to next year's Acoustic Christmas and Kevin Bean's April Foolishness and the Weenie Roast and all of the singles parties. And, of course, if you win, you know, the current Miss Double December 2013, Lux is going to be transferring the power of the crown to you through saliva. You understand that's how it works, right?
Can't you make that sound a little bit sexy?
Miss Double December will kiss you.
Thank you.
She will kiss you. That's what I meant to say.
Saliva.
So that's another good reason to want to be Miss Double D is what I'm saying, is you get to make out on stage with Lux. That's a good thing, right?
Awesome.
That is a good thing.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to put out there for your people who may be listening as to why they should vote for you?
Because I'm amazing and it's really easy to vote. You guys can even do it while you guys are in the bathroom handling your business. Okay. Easy as that.
What just happened?
Yep. That's what.
So
just
I can vote with one hand. That's what
exactly.
You're
saying. Exactly.
Yes. Or no hands.
All right, Allie L., there she goes, ladies and gentlemen. Hope we see you again. Well, I know we will see you on the 13th. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Are we supposed to just act like she's not hula hooping in the next room?
Uh-huh. Oh, she's doing it now?
Yeah. We are.
Are we supposed to ignore that? Ralph, get your tongue out of the food that she brought. What are you doing?
I'm just eating a cannoli.
No, you're not. You're licking it.
That's how you eat a cannoli. You get the cream first.
We are going to talk to USC head coach Steve Sarkisian next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're going to settle spoiler alerts. We're going to finally come up with a policy so that Kevin doesn't ruin all of our favorite shows on the internet.
I don't mean to.
Right, that's all the problem.
Here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Oh, my God.
Strong.
Oh, it was a good cannoli.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep. Mm. It's good hula hooping, too.
Yeah, it is. She's all right.
We finished.
I like this game we play.
Hey, good news. Ryan Seacrest has another job.
All right.
Yeah. He has just created a new series.
Does it involve a million seconds?
No.
How quickly did that go away?
It was the television event of the year, Kevin.
Is that true, or are you just being funny?
No, that's how they sold it.
Oh, I know, but
the very first commercial they put on, it's the television event of the year. Shouldn't we be the ones that decide that, NBC?
I just wanted to know in hindsight.
No, no one watched.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of television events of the year. Anybody watch the Sound of Music live last night?
Nope.
Lisa, who loves musicals, didn't watch.
No.
That's all you need to know.
I knew that would be bad.
It seems like a bad
consensus
plan
is,
from the
it
beginning.
Was pretty awful.
Okay.
The not the least of which its problems was Carrie Underwood as Maria Von Trapp. My favorite tweet of the evening. I'm looking over the Twitter feed in the other room. A gentleman wrote, "Carrie Underwood currently performing Maria in Sound of Music with all the charisma of a UPS truck." I like that one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ryan Seacrest's new show, Girls in the Game, for VH1. about a group of up-and-coming white female rappers. Well, they have to be good, right? As they aspire to and struggle for fame.
Yeah.
Girls in the game.
Yeah.
They're girls and they're in the game.
That does not sound like that's going to be good.
Cha-ching! For Ryan Seacrest, that's all that matters.
Yep.
By the way, did you hear he just invested in a startup company that will produce a keyboard that fits on the bottom of your iPhone?
No. A keyboard?
You put a keyboard on your iPhone. Doesn't that seem counterproductive? Yeah. Isn't it the opposite of what you want in a phone? You don't want to lug around a keyboard with it, do you?
It has a keyboard on it.
So I guess this is an additional one. Maybe a little bigger so you can type if you've got fat fingers like me and you can't type on your phone. Anyway, he's making a few dollars, which is good. I was worried the guy was going to go broke.
Yeah, it is troublesome.
One of my favorite actors has a new gig. Tom Everett Scott is his name. You may know him from That Thing You Do. He was great in that film. Southland, of course, he was in that. He was the original partner of Regina King on that amazing series. He's had guest shots on Law & Order, ER, Sons of Anarchy. He was in a TV series I loved called Philly that was short-lived. He's just been added to the cast of Beauty and the Beast on the CW. I love Tom Everett Scott. However, I did not know there was a TV show called Beauty and the Beast on the CW.
Of course. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Is it? Is there?
I spend a lot of time on the CW.
I know you do.
Yes, there is.
I'm just an Arrow guy. That's pretty much all the time I spend on the CW. But
Tomorrow People, you don't watch that?
I've seen one. I liked it.
All right.
It's hard to add to my...
I hear you.
My bulging TV watching list.
I get backed up some.
Bryan Singer has announced yet another X-Men movie in the works. Good news for geeks. The next film in the series, X-Men Days of Future Past, hasn't even aired yet. It'll be in theaters Memorial Day. But he's just announced they are planning another one for Memorial Day of 2016. X-Men Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
I'm assuming many of the same cast members will return for that as well. So good for Bryan Singer for keeping that franchise alive. And this has to be nerve-wracking. If you are a member of a cover band, if you're one of those tribute bands.
Right.
Can you imagine performing for...
For the actual band?
A member of the actual band that you're tributing.
No, because I would think you would be a huge fan of that band.
Of course.
So it'd be a little scary.
How about if that person from that band hired your band to play an event? Such was the case for the Parrots. The Parrots are Tokyo's number one Beatles tribute band. Paul McCartney hired the band this week to play at his wife Nancy Chevelle's 54th birthday party. Paul's currently on tour in Japan, and he threw a party for her there, and he hired Tokyo's number one Beatles tribute band to play at her party.
Doesn't she get enough Beatles?
Couldn't he just pick up a guitar if she wanted to hear Beatles songs?
I mean, it does seem a little lazy. What's happening?
He joined them on stage for I Saw Her Standing There, one of the Beatles classics. No pressure there, right? If you're the Parrots and Paul picks up the bass and decides to chime in. No, this is how it's done. Tonight at the Improv in Hollywood, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show. 10 p.m. this evening.
No P is never going to be turned around on you, is he?
That guy is never going to come see my show. It is happening tonight at 10 p.m. Go to improv.com to see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show. We'd love to have you join us this weekend. Next Friday, we're doing it well as well, and then in Brea for New Year's Eve. Come on.
No.
Come on. Come on, John Lee Hooker. What's his name? That guy's name? Freddie Hooker? What was his name?
I don't know where the clip came from.
Leave Britney Alone guy, isn't it?
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris. Was it Chris?
Chris.
Yes.
Chris Rooker. Chris Stocker.
Chris. Somebody in the room help us out here.
They don't listen to us anymore. Crocker. Chris Crocker.
Is that what it was? Crocker?
Okay. I don't know. It felt good for a minute, and then it went away.
Sort of not, yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. They're really not listening. No one's coming to our aid, are they?
True.
Peter Buck of REM is 57.
So if the studio were on fire and the door were, for some reason, like fused shut, we couldn't get out. Not one person would hear us and come in and try to break a glass, help us out, nothing.
If any of us has a cardiac arrest,
yeah,
we're going to die.
Yeah, it's over.
Because no one will call 911, no one will come in to give us CPR, nothing. We're finished.
And our office is 4 feet away.
Literally.
4 feet away.
Yet.
Judd Apatow is 46 years old today.
It is Chris Crocker, Ralph.
There we go.
There you go. All
so
right.
That did feel good. Well done.
And Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M quarterback. Johnny Football.
Good work, other room. Known.
He is 21 years old.
Give Big Boy our best.
We are on our own. We are like Robert Redford in All Is Lost. We're just in a little dinghy, and we got holes in the boat, and we're going to drown, and no one will ever rescue us.
Nope. But they're driving by on another boat about 80 feet away, but they're not even looking out the window to see us.
They got a big cooler full of Coors Light, and they're blasting Van Halen classics, and the girls in bikinis sunning themselves, and we're drowning, holding onto a piece of driftwood, and they're just not paying any attention to us. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let me live that fantasy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
This is the weekend. It is here. The 24th annual K-Rock Almost Christmas shows are Saturday and Sunday night at the Shrine. If you are not lucky enough to have tickets, I got two good pieces of news for you. Number one is we're giving them away 1 hour from right now and every hour all day long through 6 o'clock this afternoon. You can get those details at krock.com. And number two is we are going to be webcasting the event like we do each year, which, by the way, year after year, the webcast just gets better and better.
I agree.
I mean, it is,
it has less to do with us.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't take any of the credit for it. The fine people who work behind the scenes here at K-Rock do a great job with the webcast, and you'll see it all, and that'll be Saturday and Sunday night at krock.com. Get all the details. Make sure you're plugged in and ready to go.
I don't try to spoil things for people.
Oh, really? That's a surprise to me to hear you say that.
I know that it is because you bust me on it all the time,
right?
And I'm always surprised by your busting me on. I go, what are you – oh, yeah.
And it's not just me. You hear from the listeners as well when you spoil. Well, Kevin, you like to comment on shows that you watch, in particular things like The Walking Dead or Sons of Anarchy, and you like to immediately go to the internet and talk about the episode practically as it airs. How can you be surprised that you're spoiling it for some people?
Well, I put spoiler before it, and you say that's not enough. How's that not enough?
You're talking about on Twitter?
Yeah. If I put spoiler alert.
Here's how spoiler alert works. Spoiler alert works when you're reading an article on the internet and it says, spoiler alert, do not read any further on this article if you have not seen tonight's episode.
That's
of the
all
Walking
140
Dead.
Characters.
I'm saying that's how it works if you're doing an article.
Oh.
The problem with doing a tweet is it's a sentence. You're just looking at a sentence and your eyeballs can absorb the entire thing. Your eyeballs don't read the word spoiler, the word alert, and then see nothing else. You
right.
kind of see the whole thing at one time because it's so short.
I need to get my eyes checked.
it's different the way Kevin uses Twitter because he's reading one word at a time and he has to put his finger on the word and mouth it out
right.
loud.
Right.
So
like
that's
Braille.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So the problem is you'll tweet. And by the way, for instance, Sons of Anarchy a couple weeks ago, two major characters got killed on one episode.
It was, hey, it spoiler was, alert.
It was horrifying. How did I find out about it? The Kevin Ryder on Twitter.
Come
That's
on.
How I found out about
you
it.
You did?
Yes. And it was,
but
by
it
the way, it was maybe, it was within 3 or 4 hours of the episode airing, too. It wasn't like it was a week later and you were making a
point. All right, but what are the rules? As far as 3 or 4 hours, I thought I was safe. And I'm relatively sure I put spoiler, but no.
I can't speak to that
right.
specific tweet. What are the rules is exactly the topic that we want to put on the table for the Kevin and Bean listeners right now. And I know that there are going to be some people who say, look, it's on you to avoid spoilers. Put those blinders up. If something's
That's
on TV that you don't want to know about, just stay off the internet. It's possible to stay off the internet.
That's what I do when
I
tape. Let's say I'm busy on a Saturday night and I tape a UFC fight. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to watch it until Sunday at noon or whatever.
So you don't check Twitter?
No, I just stay off
Twitter.
Off.
Yeah. But you kind of have to.
I just figure
that's... I think live events and sports are different. To me, that is different because that is newsworthy. Like if a UFC fight happens, that's a sporting event. That's like a football game or basketball game or anything else where that's real life, real time, that happens. I do think that...
Okay, so there's no spoiler alert on live events.
I don't think
is
so.
What you're saying.
Yes, that's my feeling. I'd love to hear what the listeners have to think, because spoiler alerts have become such a thing that really just they really hurt people.
Listen, I can't watch a single episode of The Walking Dead and not have it already spoiled for me.
Because
you
work here.
Never watched it the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you work here, though. Yeah. And that's the thing is
but
that
you guys know it and you try not to spoil it and you always end up spoiling it.
We fail.
Yeah, I know. That's
you know my that.
Point.
You know we fail. But you also know me well enough to know I don't. Most of the time I'm not trying in general, or I don't want to spoil it for you most of the time.
Right.
Other times it's fun, but on Twitter I never want to spoil something, and Bean says that I spoil everything.
So I feel like
I might be failing in that area.
Well, we would like to hear what your policy is and what you guys do to avoid spoilers, what your policy is to not spoil things for other people. And by the way, here's a question that we haven't even brought up yet that I think is important for us to establish. Let's say we're not talking about a live sporting event. Let's say we're talking about an episode of The Walking Dead as a perfect example of the most popular show on TV and a show that we all watch and we all love. How long do you have to wait before you can talk about it?
That's a good question.
A lot of people don't wait at all.
Is it still a spoiler alert if you talk about it 2 days later? I don't think – I got to say no. I think you get 24 hours,
24
though.
24 hours for sure.
I get busted for that all the time, though, for 2 or 3 days in. And I just think, well, of course, everybody that wants to see it has seen it by now. If you don't see a show that you're passionate about when it airs – certainly you're going to get to it within a couple or 3 days if you really are passionate about it.
Don't you find – I kind of agree with you, but don't you find more and more people – and I know I'm like this, Kevin. No matter how much you like a show, you just get backed up. You don't have enough time to watch shows sometimes even as close to the date as you'd like. Like I still haven't seen last week's Sons of Anarchy, for instance. I love that show.
Right.
This weekend I'm hoping to catch up with it. You know what I mean?
Just check my Twitter feed this afternoon.
But what's the rule on how long you have to wait till after something airs before you start openly talking about the plot points? That's what we want to get to.
Here's my question for you. I just want to throw this in. Twitter is a of-the-moment thing.
Yeah, I know. If you tweet about an episode of The Walking Dead 3 days from now, it's just not the same.
It's really, even more than Facebook or anything else, it's really so of this second.
Yes.
And then it goes away really quickly as well.
Right.
So it's a little hard to – that's why I don't go to Twitter. I can go on other forms of media, but you risk it if you like a UFC fight or something like that, especially if it's a big one. So I just don't. But because Twitter is built the way Twitter is built, it's sort of instant feedback time.
And it's so that people can do that while a show is airing, right?
Yes, Bean.
A lot of times that's the case. I agree. Look, this is why it's a thorny issue. This is why there may not be one-size-fits-all answer. But that's why we want to talk to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, about how you're handling it, what your policy is, and how it's affecting your life. So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. What should the rules be on spoiler alerts? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Steve Sarkisian joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the just newly announced head football coach for the University of Southern California. A lot of Trojan fans very, very excited about Steve coming back to town. First, though, talking about spoiler alerts, Kevin is the king of them.
I don't mean to be.
Heard from a listener just now. I can't – so many emails on this topic. It's not jumping up. Oh, here it is. This is from Lewis. Hey, tell Kevin thanks for announcing that blank died on The Walking Dead just this week. What an a-hole. I think you did I think you put together some sort of a visual tribute or something like that.
I did. I put a photo up, but it's Friday.
I think you waited till Monday for that. So
all right, see?
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What is your spoiler policy? How do you avoid them? What should others be doing so as to not ruin your favorite shows? Let's go to Brandy first. She's on line one. She's got a policy, as a matter of fact, about The Walking Dead.
All right. Hey, Brandy.
Hi.
I
think you should avoid Twitter while you're watching or waiting to watch The Walking Dead, because even The Walking Dead live tweets the East Coast and the West Coast feed with pictures even.
Yeah, Bean.
Okay,
what do you think of that, Dick?
Choosing not to follow The Walking Dead on Twitter so that I don't have it spoiled for me because I sometimes can't watch it that night.
I watch it a couple hours later. I just avoid Twitter.
Yeah,
okay. See, well, I mean, look, if you can watch it that night, that's a whole different ball game than what we're talking about for most people. You know, The Blacklist is a perfect example. That's a 10 p.m. show. There are an awful lot of people who watch The Blacklist on Tuesday. You don't want it ruined before you get to it, do you?
Right, but I've never ruined that, have I?
No, I don't think you have ruined the blacklist, but I'm sure you've got it in your sights. Thank you for the call, Brandy. We appreciate it. Let's go to Nellie. Nellie's on line two.
Hi, Nellie.
Hi. I also defriend people because they have ruined The Walking Dead for me.
You do know who those people are, that's for sure. I have certain friends that always do that about different shows.
Do they, when you say something to them, because to me, I feel bad when Bean says, you spoiled that, or somebody says, hey, how about spoiler alert? It makes me feel bad.
They don't feel bad.
Your friend doesn't feel bad?
Nope.
Nellie, what should the policy be? How long after a show like The Walking Dead airs is it okay to start talking about it?
Well, it depends on the episode. This friend, quote, she had ruined the episode where Lori died.
Lori died? Hey, spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
No kidding. Someone will get mad at us for that.
I know. That's true.
Hey, people get mad at stuff. We can talk about The Wire and people get mad because I just got the box set. Yeah. I was going to watch it.
Look, if you're not current with the show, you can't complain.
Right. I agree. If you're waiting till the season's over to go back and watch them all at once, that's on you.
Yeah. She has said, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe Carl just did that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I defriended her.
Yeah. You did the right thing.
All right. Thank you for the call, Nellie. And by the way, let me just say, let's go to Jasmine here on line seven. While we bring her up, let me just say that Nellie made an excellent point. It kind of does depend on what the episode is. Like if it's the series finale of Breaking Bad, for instance, that's a cultural event. That's something that everybody is going to be talking about as it's happening. You know what I mean? The type of thing that people are going to tune in and watch live if they can. I think that I don't think you can get blamed for spoilers as much on an event like that as just a regular episode during the week of a regular TV show.
I agree.
Yeah, I would agree.
Jasmine, hi.
Hi. Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa Mae.
Hello.
What are your rules for spoiler alert?
My rule, I say about a week.
A week?
And here is my point. For Walking Dead, I was unable to see it on Sunday, and I get busy during the week. You know, I go to work, and I get home, and I'm unable to see it.
Wait till fill in the blank dies.
On the weekend, it's perfect for me to watch it. And I have to say, Twitter's not the only spoiler alert. What happened this week, I was on Instagram, and I happened to press a rest in peace hashtag.
Yep.
And that's how
fill in the blank got happens. Spoiled.
Fill in the blank died, right? Exactly. Okay, but I know that you want the world to revolve around you, but isn't a week an awful lot to ask for the rest of the people on the planet to not talk about a TV show because you haven't seen it?
Well, that is true, but I do try to stay away from like Facebook and media.
Okay, but see, but then you, I think you're doing the right thing by putting it on yourself, making sure it doesn't get spoiled for you. Right?
But I think a week, because during the week, you don't get to do a lot of things. You don't get
I hear you.
Well,
I mean,
at least I do.
Okay. People are busy and can't keep up with
shows. I feel
like
a week's too much, man. I think a day, honestly. I really do think a day. All right. Thank you for the call. We got to move on. Let's go to Devin. He's got a policy, I think. He's on line five, and he's up next.
Hi, Devin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. Spoiler alert rules.
Mine basically is, you know, if you're going to tweet about it, keep it generic. Like, OMG, SOA, this week, crazy. You know,
that's a worthless tweet.
It is.
What is in that tweet?
Nothing.
That's nothing but whipped cream. There's nothing there.
Well, that does waste your time.
Well, you see, I'm one of the people, like, I don't really care about spoilers, because, I mean, if it's a show that I really, really like, and even if somebody spoils it, I'm still going to want to watch it.
Agreed. Right. I mean, we all get stuff spoiled, and then you just watch it anyway.
But that way, if you just do something like that, you can still live tweet it, and then nobody's going to get mad at you. Or, Kevin, you know, you're not going to lose, you know, one of your 12 followers or whatever.
How dare you? I've had 13 for about a month. Bastard.
All right, Devin, thank you for the call. We're going to have to leave it there. So basically, we've settled nothing except to know that it's very treacherous waters. It's very treacherous waters, basically. And don't follow Kevin. I kind of miss Allie, our Miss Double December contestant, who was in here last hour, by the way. Kind of miss her. I feel kind of sad that we showed her and her hula hoop the door. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's how it has to work. And then we visit with all the other nine next week.
Yes, all 10 Miss Double December contestants will be joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and you can go to KROQ.com right now and cast your vote. We did have some problems, if I can be frank with the Kevin and Bean listeners. We did have some difficulties out of our control with the voting procedure online for
I thought it went well.
But it has all been fixed, and it's super easy to vote. And don't forget, you can join us in person as we crown Miss Double December 2014 on Friday, December 13th at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. All right, here's the favorite song for millions of the K-Rock listeners. Of course, if you're a USC Trojan, you have been aware of the good news that Steve Sarkisian is coming back home. He is the Trojans' new head football coach at the University of Southern California, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Coach. Welcome, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be home.
It's our pleasure, and that's the first thing I wanted to ask you about is what a dream come true for a born and bred Southern Californian to have this job, right?
It really is. You know, you grow up, and everybody's lives has twists and turns, and you go away, and you make decisions, and you never know the impact that those decisions might have. And for this thing to turn out the way it has, for me to be able to be back here and at USC with the Trojan family, it's pretty amazing.
You were a quarterback at El Camino High, right?
El Camino Junior College. I went to West Torrance High School.
West Torrance and then El Camino. Were you a guy who always thought, even when you were a player, did you know at that young age that one day I want to grow up and be a coach? Or is that something that kind of you got that idea after you realized you couldn't play any longer?
Well, I started getting it when I was realizing in the middle of playing that, you know, I'm not the most talented guy. So I have to rely on my knowledge of the game, the anticipation, the understanding the defenses, and I loved it. I loved that aspect of the game, and I leaned on it as a player. But sooner or later, my lack of athletic ability kicked in, and then I had to retire from playing and start coaching.
That's sort of weird, though, because you kind of have to believe in yourself wholeheartedly to play, and yet you're coming to the realization that you're not great.
I think sooner or later, we all come to that realization. Some guys just last a little longer in the NFL. Some guys make it through college. Some guys only make it to high school. But yeah, at some point, everybody comes to that realization. And then it's, okay, what's the next phase of your life going to be? And mine happened to be coaching. It's an awesome profession. I love being around the guys, coaching them, developing them, recruiting them, so it's been awesome.
Yeah, and you've had a long and very successful career as an assistant coach, as a QB coach, and now, you know, and as a head coach in Washington. I'm curious about this aspect of the job, and maybe I just am asking this because I was such a Friday Night Lights fan, Coach, but how much of your job is talking to the young men that play for you about football, and how much of them is just trying to keep their heads right?
Well, it's a lot. You know, when you put on a head coaching hat, you're not just the head football coach. You're a father figure. You're a counselor. You're a recruiter. You're a salesman. There's so much that goes into this thing. You're a fundraiser. But with our players, it's got to be constant. It has to be day to day so that they know that you're real, that they can come and talk to you, that they can express themselves to you, because the better you know them off the field, the better you're going to know them on the field and who the guys are that you can count on at the most critical moments.
Is it more of a psychological challenge to coach college than it would be in the pros? I mean, in the pros, it's basically the cream of the crop. They're all there. They're all driven. In college, they're still kids, some of them, and can screw up and can – is it harder to coach them that way?
I think every level has its own unique challenges, whether you're in high school, college, NFL, everybody's got their own challenges to deal with. I will say one of the beauties of coaching college football is I think when you get a guy who's 18 years old and he comes on your campus, and that the next 4 years of his life from 18 to 22 years old, I think is when guys can really be shaped and molded and we change the most and we really set ourselves up for the rest of your lives. And I think that's one of the best parts about it is that you get a kid who is a high school kid, and then when he leaves, he's going out into the real world with a degree. And those 4 years of his life were so impactful to know that you have an impact on his life and what you're setting him up for the rest of his life.
Right. You've been this voice of Coach Steve Sarkisian here on the Kevin and Bean Show from USC, recently of the U of W, and I know you had a great time playing, coaching for the Huskies and everything. As much of a dream job as USC was, is it tough to leave a situation that you've been in 5 years, especially a program that you have really, really turned around and has nothing but good things in its future now, thanks to you?
It was unbelievably difficult. I never want to have that meeting again, to walk into that team room to let those kids know that I was leaving for this job. And it's hard because you develop those relationships. Everything I was just talking about, I did there. And when you have to go look those kids in the eyes and tell them you're making the decision that you think is best for you and your family and your future, they're not all going to understand it. They all don't understand it, but you try to rationalize with them as best you can, wish them the best of luck, and know that when you're walking out of there, that you left that program in a better place today than it was 5 years ago when you took over.
I got to be honest. I'm packing in the middle of the night and just running.
you don't want to answer any questions, do you, Kevin?
Right. I'm just out. Peace out, yo.
Coach, I would think that one of the tough things would be that these players for the Trojans right now have had so much turmoil over the past few years with the coaches, you know, with Ed and Orgeron, losing him right after losing Lane Kiffin and the guy before him as well. I mean, I would imagine stability is what they want more than anything, is knowing that the guy that's given them directions is going to be there in a year is what they're looking for right now, I bet.
I think so. I think so. They didn't. What they signed up for, especially these seniors, isn't what they got here the last 4 and 5 years.
Right.
For me, it's coming in, one, getting to know these guys like I touched on, making this a really positive experience for them. So when they walk out of here, when their time's done at USC, they have memories that'll last a lifetime to say, you know what, that was a great experience for me. Not just on the football field, but in the classroom, in the community, the friendships, the relationships that I made. And along the way, win a bunch of football games and win championships together.
Now, you're not starting this year. You're starting next year, right?
Correct. I'm here on campus. I'm assembling a coaching staff right now. We're starting to recruit. I will be around the team for the bowl game, but these coaches on this staff deserve the right to coach the game. You know, they're the ones that got them to this point. They've done an amazing job. They have an opportunity to win 10 games here if they can go out and win this bowl game. So I want to allow them to coach. I think it's fair to the players to have their coaches with them. They've been through so much. And I'll be pulling for them as best I can and be right there for them as best I can so that they can go out and win that 10th ball game.
The sanctions against the USC are coming near to an end. I think there's only one season left. Do you feel like your hands are a little bit tied next year, or you feel like you're going to be able to accomplish everything you want to, even with them still in effect?
I think we have the roster in place to accomplish everything we want to accomplish. Obviously, the injuries, if and or when they mount up on you, that's when it becomes really challenging. And so for us, in this recruiting class, we're making sure that we really solidify the depth at the positions of need so that if we do have injuries occur, we have enough depth on the roster and it's a balanced roster so that the next guy can step up and go in and play well.
This might be a stupid question, but what position do you generally need backup at because they get injured more? Is it running back?
Definitely running back, and we're fortunate here to inherit a tremendous running back position with four really big-time guys at that spot. Obviously, the offensive line position is unique in that you get a couple guys banged up there, and if you're thin, it can get hard on you. So those are the two probably big ones on offense. On defense, when you start talking about defensive backs, if you don't have enough there in that spot, it can get hard as well. So you're just trying to find balance. You're trying to find balance on your roster so that you can withstand the injuries when they occur.
All right, last question for me, Coach Sark, and that is, how are you going to get Will Ferrell involved with the USC Trojan marching band every single game? That guy makes every Saturday out at the Coliseum better, doesn't he?
Oh, he's awesome. I was on with Ron Burgundy yesterday doing an interview with him. And,
yes!
And it was funny because I challenged Ron to an Oklahoma tackling drill with Will Ferrell. And Ron notified me that he thought Will was soft and that he would take him out. So we'll see if we can get that done on the practice field.
Well, it was great, great news to hear that you were coming home. And, of course, we root for USC and whatever their bowl games can end up being this year. But next year, it's really, really going to be fun to see you back out there. And welcome home. And I hope we get a chance to talk to you many more times on K-Rock throughout the year, sir.
Well, I appreciate it. I've been listening to you guys forever, man. It's fired up to be on with you. And can't wait to get this thing going.
Thank you, Steve. All right. Appreciate it, Coach Sark. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys. See you.
What the hell?
We'll just wait.
We're just going to wait.
Is he coming?
What is it? The end of a record you're playing? Is the needle skipping?
Yeah, song ended.
He's still he's watching the draft, the soccer draft.
But what?
The
We're doing
draft.
A radio show. Tell him to come to the microphone.
Kevin! What could be less interesting, first of all, than a soccer game, and now it's the soccer draft?
Hey, real quick, while Kevin works his way over to the microphone, if you'd like to go to both nights of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows, which are sold out for the Shrine this weekend, we'd like you to be there as our guest. We'll give you a chance to win them, playing a game coming up next right after the top of the hour.
Spain has to play Brazil, Bean.
Okay, thanks for that. 1-800-520-1067. Looking for contestants to compete coming up next here on K-Rock. Time now for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
The set for the soccer draft looks like a Mexican game show.
Yes, it does, with a super hot chick there.
What the hell is that crap?
They do the drawing.
For what?
For the World Cup.
For World Cup. So it's not the draft.
It's the draw. I don't think it's called the draft.
Why were you calling it the draft before?
I don't know. It's because I'm an idiot. But
you're the only soccer guy.
No,
we don't get it.
It's basically who does the United States have to play in the World Cup to get out of the group stage.
And you needed to watch it live because that information won't be available on every soccer website.
They've been
an
stalling
hour
since 8:30. I only got to see Brazil and Spain. That's it.
I think this is one of those deals, Ralph, where the information is released and then immediately redacted. You're no longer allowed to get it. It's not available anymore after it's live.
Just big black Sharpie marks going through every document that has the information in it.
Right.
Spoiler alert, boy.
Just saying.
Ass. Stop looking at it.
Well, draw a ball and tell me who it is.
I'll draw a ball.
Argentina, back to you.
Tonight at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. Come on and join us, won't you?
No.
That's what I thought.
Ralph was going to wait for that, Bean.
I figured it was coming. Might as well accept it. It's like death. You go through the five stages of working with Bean. Now I'm in acceptance.
Yeah.
I'm at that level now.
Come on now.
Feels much better. 10 p.m. tonight at the Improv. Go to improv.com for tickets to Hollywood Babylon with me and my good buddy, Kevin Smith.
He's down on the phone.
I wish Don was on the phone because I got some problems. I have some complaints to Don.
You're upset that you can't watch the draw?
No, I'm not upset about that. I am upset about the fact that The Sound of Music live on NBC drew 18.5 million viewers last night.
Oh my God, that's huge.
It's monstrous.
Wow.
What were they thinking?
What happened?
We're done. We're done as a society. We're finished.
Wow. Well, we were done when they greenlit this project.
Well, apparently not. Apparently it was a genius idea on NBC's part because 18.5 million viewers tuned in.
That's crazy.
So are they looking for another musical to do next year now, do you think? Probably. There's a meeting happening right now.
I'm sure there is.
Oklahoma, here we come.
Yeah, exactly. All I'd say about that, NBC, is we got trouble right here in River City with a capital T that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. That stands for pool. Yes, I got trouble, my friends. Come on, Ralph Garman in The Music Man live on NBC. Love that network. Always have, always will.
That's funny.
Matt Fowler tweeted, wow, last night's Sound of Music hate watch drew 18.5 million viewers. Lesson learned is, let's just Sharknado everything. He's right. I guess you just put anything bad enough on television, it will get a lot of viewers. That's how
I did see it most referred to as a high school quality production on network television.
Right.
That was the word on it.
That's what I'm saying. If they allow high school quality performers to do live musicals, we got trouble, my friends. Right here, say trouble right here in River City. I'll have you know, my Harold Hill at Northeast High School's production of
You've been
Music
keeping
Man
it pretty sharp, have you?
Still stands today as one of the greatest accomplishments in high school theater in the Eastern Pennsylvania region.
They keep records there?
Brush it up on my 76 trombones and get ready to join you.
76 trombones led the big parade.
18 million people.
2.5 million people. When you're talking about millions, that 0.5 means something.
It does. That's true.
It's madness. Wants you to know that she's not dating Michael Neeson. New York Post reported that she and Liam Neeson's 18-year-old son snuck away into the women's bathroom at a Manhattan bar and apparently got busy, according to witnesses. Lindsay says it's just not the case.
Oh.
They're in there doing blow. No, I'm kidding. No. They're just friends. They're not dating. And they were just out to have a good time. He's 18. Should he be in a bar anyway drinking? Probably not, right? That's New York.
Well,
New York
it is New York, yeah. It is New York in the 1930s, right?
It is New York in the 1930s, yes. You know, Liam Neeson legendarily has a significant appendage.
Yeah.
Maybe it's genetic. Maybe Michael's packing, and that's why she wanted to spend a little time with him in the ladies' room.
Could be.
I'll meet you in the ladies' room.
You're doing a lot of singing these days, Ralph.
I know. I'm very musical.
Bean, who is that? Meet you in the ladies' room. What year?
Climax.
Climax.
Wow. Kevin knew that.
Come on. I'm like an encyclopedia.
Okay. Where did it chart? And what year was it released,
I don't
Kevin?
Have any idea.
Well, let's turn to the actual...
Ow. What just happened?
What the hell? He just had a stroke.
I did.
What's going
on?
Did you just fall over your dog?
No, I don't know what I did. I knocked something off. I'm sorry.
All right. What year and where did it chart, Bean?
No idea.
Come on, Rain Man. You're good
honestly,
at this.
I don't
you
know.
Love this
to me,
game.
Bean
to
does
me,
this that's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Bean will go, it went to number two.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember.
The one time I ask him, he's not that's volunteering it.
That's about 87, wasn't it? Climax, 1987. Does that sound right
I
to you guys?
I could guess that's about.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Latter half of the 20th century, I'm guessing.
I'm going to say 1987, and I'm going to guess, meeting in the ladies' room, I'm going to guess it got to like number 18.
All right.
That's my guess.
Well, once we fire and rehire a staff that listens to the show, they'll be able to look that up for us.
They can look it up and let us know.
And let us know. Looking forward to the end of the year firing. Oh, did we tell them about that? Have we announced that yet?
We have
that
not.
That we're cleaning house?
We haven't said anything.
I'm looking forward to that.
To the house.
Speaking of the staff, really quick, if you allow me an aside, I know this is supposed to be about showbiz news and everything, but I'm running way late and everything, and I've just passed Karen. stop it, everyone, with dressing up as if we're all working in an igloo. I know it's a little cold outside. The beer mug looks like he's on Admiral Byrd's expedition to the South freaking pole. He's got a toque and a beanie and a hoodie and eight layers of sweaters and
ski
muck
goggles
and snowshoes. F you. You walked from your house to your car this morning. Yeah, I know it's 40, but relax. Christine comes in, she's got a scarf wrapped around her, and snow goggles, and ski poles.
I wasn't sure I was going to make it this morning.
For F's sake, stop being so soft. It was just a little chilly, but you're not walking to work. It's not New York. You're just getting from warm house to warm car to warm studio.
Right. That's the point, is you're 25 feet outside, is all that you're saying.
That's right. God. A little cold weather in Southern California, people lose their minds.
I don't know how people are still alive.
Not my boy Kevin, though, by the way. T-shirt shorts every day, day in, day out. When the apocalypse comes, when the four horsemen are riding down Venice Boulevard, Kevin, it's going to be in T-shirt and shorts. Doesn't matter.
I watched my daughter play soccer two nights ago, and it was 39, 40 degrees.
What were you wearing?
Shorts. And a T-shirt. And I literally thought I was going to die.
You are not a person who changes his attire for A, weather,
and she said,
or B, occasion.
Did you think about putting on pants? And I said, not really.
Didn't even dawn on you, did it?
Didn't really consider it, no.
What a blissful state you must live in with that that mind just wiped clean. what a pleasant experience must be.
Clean.
It is. It's just, it's like a smooth surface. Now most brains have a lot of wrinkles and everything, old facts. You just have like a smooth globe inside your skull. It must be wonderful to not have to think about anything or worry about anything, remember anything. What a wonderful experience just floating through life. Just like just an orb. Today's celebrity
birthdays.
A giant orb. Today's celebrity birthdays. Peter Buck of REM is 57. Judd Apatow is 46. And Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M, the quarterback for that team, is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, we have tickets for both nights of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067.
Kevin?
You already
Kevin.
Said this while I was watching the soccer.
Yeah, we cover all of that. And if you look at the phones, you'll see they're all filled with contestants
here.
Ready to play.
We have no available lines.
The only one who's
Kevin.
Not ready to play is you.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, I'm serious now. Who came up with this idea? It's a terrible idea. Dave? Stupid King of Mexico?
It was Dave's idea. Hey, today's your last day, obviously, to win your tickets for both nights of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concerts, because they are this weekend. We got tickets for you at the top of every hour all day long until 6 o'clock. But right now, the listeners on hold are going to get to play for the first time ever. Omar's on vacation, you see, so it's no Omaroki. It's Kevin and Beaneroki.
If you want tickets to a show and if you really want to go see a band, you're a fan, put your hands up, because now it's time to play Kevin and Beaneroki, Kevin and Beaneroki. It's everybody from the crew, they're going to sing a song for you, so listen up to get it right, you're going to sing with other mics. It's time to play Kevin and Beaneroki, Kevin and Beaneroki.
Ladies and gentlemen,
come back.
Yes,
come on, that was good, Ralph.
I gotta tell you,
beer mug. That was excellent.
Thank you.
That wasn't bad.
That was really good. All right.
And yet it was terrible.
How, refresh our memory, please. How is this game played?
We spin the wheel. It lands. We've never done it, have we?
No, how can you refresh your memory? It's something that's never been done before.
We're going to spin the wheel. We put our names on the wheel. It lands on
put
one of.
Put your name on it.
It lands on one of our names. At that point, whoever it lands on has to sing a song from one of the bands on night number one or night number two of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Christmas.
All right. Then the caller just has to tell us by title and artist what song we're trying to sing. If they're right, they go into the drawing. One person wins tickets to both nights.
Kevin and Bean are rookie.
Kevin and Bean are rookie.
I like it. Let's give it a try.
All right. Let's say good morning to Taylor. Hi, Taylor.
How's it going?
Very
spin
good,
the
thank
wheel
you.
First, and then you go to the
We spun, and then we got Taylor on the wheel.
I can multitask, Ralph.
Okay. It just seems a little unfair, I think.
Landed on Ralph, oddly
what?
Enough.
Yeah!
Oh, Taylor.
So Ralph will be singing a song, Taylor, and you have to tell us what it is by title and artist to get into the drawing, okay?
Sing me a good one.
All right, Taylor, I apologize in advance. Here we go.
All I am is a man. I want the world in my hands. I hate the beach, but I stand in California with my toes in the sand.
That was very nice.
Thank you. Do you know the title and artist?
I feel like we did hear the whole song. Sweater Weather, yes, by who?
The Neighborhood.
That's correct.
Yes!
Well done. All right. Very impressive. All right, now I feel like the rest of us are going to suck because Ralph could actually sing.
We That's, are.
That is very true. Let's say good morning to Jesus. Hi there.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
All right, let's see who gets to sing for you. Bean!
Yeah!
Oh, no, no.
Bean will now sing for Jesus. Sorry, Jesus.
I'm sorry as well, Jesus. You ready?
Yes.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
I'm sorry, that's not it. All right, here we go.
I was left to my own devices. Many days fell away with nothing to show.
That's all you get, Jesus. What song? Title and artist, please.
Wow.
Yeah, let's go with Young the Giant. It's about
I'm sorry. We were looking for Bastille Pompeii.
Wow.
All right, so Ralph is good and Bean is bad.
That
I get it.
Awful.
Say good morning to Yer. Your name is Yer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good morning,
Kevin
Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good luck, Yer. Yer. And it's Lisa.
Yay! Yay!
All right.
Ready?
I'm not sure.
Are you never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address in a torn up town. No postcard envy.
Wow. You're doing Lana Del Rey. You know that. She's not on the bill, right? You're definitely doing Lana Del Rey.
Just
who's she trying to do, Yair?
Royals by Lord.
That's correct.
Yeah!
Now, who's keeping somebody keeping track? You are, Lisa?
All right. All right. Sadly, I think we are only going to have time for one more contestant, you guys.
Thank God. I don't want to have to sing. Let's go to Fernando. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, Lisa May, Kevin and Bean.
Good morning. Wow.
Hey.
And it's me. Great.
Yeah!
The dark of the alley, the break of the day, while I'm driving, I'm driving. That's all you get.
That's it?
Come
That's
on. It. Wow.
Oh. Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, that was a reference.
Who was it that gave you the answer?
Yeah, I heard him in the background.
Whoever gave you the answer should be in the drawing.
That's right. So basically, all the contestants identified their title and artist except for mine.
Except for mine.
That's how bad
that
I am.
That's the unrecognizable one.
Is it going to be Taylor? Is it going to be Yair? Or is it going to be Fernando? Who's going to join us for both nights this weekend at the Shrine?
What are the chances? It's Yair!
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 Oh, Lisa's
quiz contestant. What about that?
She's going to be driving.
I see how it
works. Congratulations, Jer, both nights.
Oh, my God, yeah, thanks.
Thanks for playing. Kevin and Bean, a
rookie. Our friend Cousin Sal, who works with his real-life cousin late nights on ABC with the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, also writes about football for Grantland.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at The Cousin Sal. He had a very touching tribute to President Mandela yesterday, Kevin. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter or not.
I did not.
I'm paraphrasing now. I don't have it in front of me. But it was, thank goodness Nelson Mandela isn't alive to see this Thursday night game with the Texans. So I think you can tell he really put what's important into perspective. Sal, why was the game last night so bad that you would have rather died?
Sorry, guys. I'm just finishing off watching the draw for the Nathan's hot dog game.
How dare you?
I'm watching on delay. It looks like Joey Chestnut's going to get screwed again, but I'll watch later. What do you want to talk about, Thursday night?
This Thursday night game last night really had you in fits. How come?
I don't really get why the NFL Network, week after week, gets the worst game. I mean, the network bears the name of the league. You would think they get at least some kind of choice in the matter. Like if the History Channel was only allowed to air Vine videos of Hitler making meatloaf or something. I don't get, maybe it's not like that at all. I don't know.
No, but your point is when they're putting the schedule together, give the drummer sub. Throw them an occasional, you know, Patriots game or a Broncos game or something people want to watch instead of the dreadful Texans against Jacksonville.
It's awful. And, you know, it really was a matter of who's going to get the first draft pick. And now they're saying the coach is going to be fired. The Texans coach who had like a mini stroke a few weeks ago. I think they had to wait until he was in the clear. You know, like when they were going to fire Bean and then he bruised his kidney last year.
Right, hey, yeah. I don't know that I knew about that story. Wait a minute. Texans did lose their 11th game in a row last night for those who are keeping track. What is the record, by the way, for the most teams an NFL franchise has lost in a row? Sal, do you know?
73 games in a row.
That is not true.
I don't think that's true. I feel like you made that up. Okay.
I don't have that handy. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about some teams that are better. Let's talk about this weekend's games, and let's get Sal's picks for week. I think we're up to week 14 now of the NFL season. First of all, you got your Patriots, who have had a couple of pretty close games lately, but that's not going to be the case against Cleveland this weekend, I don't think.
I don't think so either. We've seen a lot this year in the NFL, an influx of no-name quarterbacks, widespread Adderall addiction, and locker room bullying. You know what we haven't seen, Kevin and Bean?
What's that?
A good old-fashioned Brady check beatdown at home. And Cleveland hasn't won in Foxborough in 21 years. I think much like Bean Seahawks showed last Monday, Patriots are going to remind everyone, hey, we're not going to be effed with at home. The Browns are in tank mode for a higher draft pick anyway. This is a good spot for New England to romp. 40-7, I say. Give the 13.
Wow, 13's a big spread.
A lot of points. They're going to score.
All right, the surprising Detroit Lions, who are turning out to be a pretty decent team, if I'm not mistaken, Cousin Sal, they're playing Philadelphia. What do you think?
And they're a lot of fun to watch these Lions. Talk about their offense, Calvin Johnson. You know how many of those three Calvin Johnsons I mentioned is responsible for their 11 sacks in the last 2 weeks?
How many?
None of them.
None.
It's their defense that's stepping up. And I think this is finally the week Nick Foles turns the ball over for the Eagles. It should be a good one. The Lions, though, are 4-0 against NFC East opponents in the last 2 years. I'm taking Detroit in the points, 27-23.
All right. We're talking to Cousin Sal right now about the football this weekend. And by the way, when Sal was we didn't get him last week because of the holiday, but 2 weeks ago, he was 3-0 for those who are wondering whether to cast their lot with Sal. And finally, the game I can't wait for this Sunday, San Francisco hosts the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle won their first meeting earlier in the year, but I've been hearing all season long from 49ers fans, it's going to be different when you come to our house. How's it going to play out, Sal?
I think you're going to be disappointed here. I think this is the ultimate hangover letdown game for the Seahawks. They pummeled the Saints on Monday night. They have a short week to regroup. The 49ers seem, like you mentioned, they're out for blood after being embarrassed by the Seahawks earlier in the season. San Francisco needs it more. It's December, and they still haven't secured a playoff spot. Outrageous. Seattle's 1-4 against the spread at San Fran. Wide receiver Michael Crabtree is healthy for the Niners. He makes a difference. Take the 49ers. Give the 2.5. They win 21-13.
I do worry a little bit about Seattle coming down after that New Orleans Monday night win because they only have to win 2 out of their last 4 games in order to get the home field advantage in the playoffs, and they might as well win those against teams like Arizona, right? Like,
why sweat
the 49ers, right?
How dare you?
Let me ask you one more thing about this game, Sal, and that is, what did you make of the memo that leaked from the 49ers organization about trying to figure out how to get the fans to cheer harder? Right? That was kind of weird, wasn't it?
I didn't even hear that. You know, I think, like, it doesn't really matter. All these teams, they spend billions of dollars on these stadiums. Whoever is the architect of that Seattle contraption, that guy should get, he is the mastermind.
Agreed.
Somehow they get noise and noise and more noise. That's who you have to hire to come in.
All right, Patriots minus 13 over Cleveland. You've got Detroit plus 3 over Ralph's Philadelphia Eagles. He's very sad right now. And the 49ers take the minus 2.5 over the Seattle Seahawks. Those are games for this weekend, 14. We'll have a great weekend yourself there, Sal. We'll do it again next time.
Take care, fellas.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Come on, man.
942.
The easiest part of the whole job is just saying K-Rock. Kevin's all upset about Portugal and Ghana. He won't stop talking about it, Ralph.
Dare you. He's got gonorrhea again?
No, it's
now, Ghana's the team that knocked the U.S. out of the World Cup last time, right? So they're good.
They're good. They're not great. We could beat them.
Okay.
Portugal's better. Germany's the best.
Portugal?
Yeah.
All right. Ralph, it's your time for our final look at the showbiz beat, and then let's get the hell out of here. Come on. It's right. Christmas weekend, you guys. We got stuff to do.
Yeah.
First of all, I leave here.
Right.
Then I got to start drinking.
Okay.
Then tonight, I've got Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith at the Improv.
No.
Now, how many hours?
Improv.com for your tickets, by the way. Tonight at 10 p.m. Improv in West Hollywood on Melrose.
How many hours of drinking is the pregame for that?
About four.
4 hours. All right.
Then I hit the stage at 10.
Uh-huh.
Kevin is baked. I'm juiced.
Right.
And then we do that show. Usually get out of there around midnight. Then I stay at the bar at the Improv till 2.
Okay.
Then up Saturday, badly hungover.
Right. In need of another alcoholic drink.
A little hair of the dog.
Right.
Get right around 1-ish. Then we're at the Shrine broadcasting. Mm-hmm. We are around, what, 5? 5
o'clock,
p.m.?
Yeah.
You need to be there, too. But, yeah, 5 o'clock is when the broadcast starts.
Start getting liquored up at that point.
Okay.
Show starts at 6. By 8, I'm unintelligibly drunk.
Okay.
I don't know, leave what, midnight?
Prop 1.
Smashed, Uber home.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, get up, Eagles Detroit, start drinking Bloody Marys.
Yeah, wow.
Eagles win, celebrate that with Irish whiskey in the afternoon.
What if they lose?
Oh, more Irish whiskey in the afternoon.
All right.
And then Sunday, 5, broadcast drinking show, 5 drinking, drinking, late drinking, midnight drinking.
Right.
Monday morning show.
So what suffers the most in that equation?
The listeners on Monday morning. Monday morning's listeners will suffer the most because that's my schedule for this week.
Now, you could do all of those same things and make it easier on yourself by not drinking.
It's so funny that you would think that's a possibility.
I'm just saying it's possible, right?
Ralph, you're rich.
You're a very funny guy. You managed to come in and do this show well every single, well, most mornings and without drinking. You could do those other things without drinking as well.
Once again, you're adorable.
He's cute.
Like, you don't think I have a flask in the office that I'm putting in my coffee each morning.
Okay.
If I ever sober up, you're all in trouble. That's all I got to say. Because I'm gonna snap.
That is going to happen.
Hey, speaking of tickets for things like Babylon and Acoustic Christmas, more tickets I've got to give away right now. This time, it's for a very cool event. We're having a K-Rock advance screening of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Yeah!
Smaug.
The second in the Peter Jackson Hobbit trilogy will be in theaters on Friday, December the 13th. However, you, my good friends, will be able to watch it on December the 10th before anybody else at the AMC Orange 30, thanks to the K-Rock special advance screening. If you're a Hobbit fan and you'd like to attend, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers who get through, we get a pair of passes for the K-Rock advance screening of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Smaug looks scary. You know who the voice of Smaug is in this film?
I do not.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Is that right?
Yes, did the voice for you. That guy's working a lot these days.
Sure is.
So cool to see a guy, not that he's old by any stretch of imagination, I think he's in his late 30s, maybe 37 or whatever. But for an actor, a really good actor like that, to have been good for a long time and then have sort of the success and the praise and the money and the fame heaped upon him at a stage where he can truly appreciate it and sort of handle it. We see so many 20-year-olds starring in movies and then going off
and
the
gone.
Rails.
Yeah.
But between Star Trek and Sherlock and now this and all the stuff that he's been doing, boy, he's on quite a roll. Good man. Nice guy.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Cindy Crawford says she's still up for posing in the nude.
All right.
She still looks great.
She still looks amazing. 47-year-old Cindy Crawford said she doesn't mind posing nude, and she would do it again. However, not for Playboy.
What?
She has appeared twice in the magazine during its 60-year history.
All right,
for
who?
Said those days are behind her. You know why? Interesting reason. Said she would do it for a fashion shoot or for a art photographer. But Playboy has a different connotation, and she's concerned about her son.
Yeah.
Who is 14 years old. Well, she said, I have a son who's 14, and I wouldn't want him to be uncomfortable.
He's going to be uncomfortable. Other people that are 14 are going to find out his mom is Cindy Crawford and is naked wherever she's naked.
They will go through the history yes. of her photographs and find her nude regardless.
Yes. Yeah.
But maybe it's right now. Mom, did you have to do it yesterday?
Yeah.
I would do nudes, but I think the connotation of Playboy is a little hard for a kid. I wouldn't want him to be embarrassed by his mother, which is a very sweet thing for her to consider.
Yes.
A lot of parents, especially showbiz parents, do not consider the well-being of their children before they do what they do.
I think if it keeps her out of Playboy, it's the wrong decision.
Of course you do,
however,
Kevin.
However.
Because you...
That's only... correct.
Yes. Amanda Bynes is on the road to wellness, according to friends.
That's good news.
Not in the movie, The Road to Wellness, but on the road to wellness. She, according to her mother's attorney, released a statement saying that she has completed her inpatient rehabilitation. She's feeling better every day. And Amanda hopes to go back to college and major in fashion design, get out of the entertainment business, and start designing clothing.
Hmm. All right.
Apparently, she's been successfully treated for schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and is doing great. And the prediction amongst her medical professionals, as well as her legal team, is that she will be a functioning member of society again sometime
soon.
That's
good news.
That is good news. It's funny how much we reveled in her misery.
But that's before we knew it was a serious problem.
Yeah, we didn't really know. We thought she was just a goofball.
Right.
And once we found out she was sick, and it seems like everyone is really rooting for her recovery now, which is nice.
I agree.
Shows that we're not all douchebags.
So if she's well, she's going to go back to doing what she was doing before she got sick, which, as far as I know, was nothing.
Yeah, well, that's why she wants to go back
to
college.
A plan, dude.
She wants to go to college and major in fashion design. Come on, man.
Hey, glass half empty. Take
yeah.
it easy.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that in a negative
down.
Way. I'm just saying
no,
there was a time in our
negative.
Life. No. I'm saying there was a time in our lives before Amanda went crazy where we didn't think about her at all because she was essentially retired. Like, we never heard about her at all. She was just,
yeah.
She didn't seem like she was in showbiz.
Yeah, you know why? Because she was busy going crazy.
Apparently, now we know that. Well, I wish her the well. All the best.
Wish her the well.
I wish her the well.
She must be thirsty.
I wish her the well as well.
I wish her the well so she could dip her ladle in it and get some cool mountain water.
That's what I hope for her.
What's going on with you?
From the well.
What's going on with this whole show today?
That four-hour, two-part Bonnie and Clyde miniseries starts this weekend.
Great.
Starts Sunday night, wraps up Monday night on three different cable networks.
Huh. Well, they're making it easy to track, aren't they?
It is. You'll be able to see it simultaneously on A&E, Lifetime, and History. Emil Hirsch, of course, stars as Clyde Barrow. Holiday Granger is her name from The Borgias. She's the actress who stars as Bonnie Parker. Holly Hunter stars as Bonnie's mother, Emma. William Hurt will play the Texas Ranger who led the hunt for them, named Frank Hammer. So I'm looking forward to that. I love that story, and this looks like a really good version of it. Of course, the legendary Warren Beatty version in the 60s was the one that brought that couple to a lot of people's attention, but I think that's something to look forward to. And so is this new reality show. I'm going to have to give LaQuisha a call, see if she's available.
Oh,
when this
fantastic.
Thing hits
it's been a while.
Air,
I don't know that she'll take our call.
Well, and I've listened to this show today. She won't. it's a new reality show called Botched.
Botched.
Reality show where two plastic surgeons will try to fix horrible plastic surgery nightmares.
Ha-ha!
Say you had a bad tummy tuck or your nose job is off-center. Well, Dr. Terry DeBrow and Dr. Paul Nassif will fix you up.
Love it.
Put you under the knife and make you right again. This series is scheduled to debut next fall on E!, so you can check that out. Or maybe if you're hideous, you can call them and they can put you on the show before they start shooting.
That's nice. It's a good touch there.
Have we ever done that? Have we ever done plastic surgery in nightmares? Plastic surgery's gone wrong?
I don't think we have. I don't think so.
That might be an interesting phone segment here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I have to send photos, though, so that we can post them and all laugh, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
Kevin.
That's the reason.
Not me. I wish them the well. People who have undergone bad plastic surgery. I do. Today's celebrity birthdays, Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M. He's the quarterback for that team. Johnny Football, as he's known in the college football
game
arena. 21 years old today. Director Judd Apatow is 46 years old. Guitarist of R.E.M. Peter Buck is 57. A lot of people emailing me today saying, you said they had birthdays yesterday, those two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's King of Mexico.
Don't worry. We're firing the staff. We're going to rehire. Send your applications to...
Not my fault.
I think Beer Mug's email address will be available. So send it to that
He
one.
Has had a spectacular day.
He's been magical. really has. I'm Ralph.
Fire Beer Mug.
I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, it's Acoustic Christmas weekend. We will talk to you live from the Shrine Auditorium tomorrow night, Saturday night at 5.
Live is questionable.
Sunday night at 5 as well.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Tell me a little bit about your show.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Come on now.
Roll another one.
I think I'd like to delete this from my TiVo.
Just like the other one.
Yeah!
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hey, fatso, get the letter.
And I need another hit.
Coming up, a very special video presentation called Even My Tongue is Fat. But right now, to begin with, let's start things off in our telethon with a song.
Roll, 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 roll another one.
Have you ever tried the fudge sprinkler?
Just like the other one.
You are a talented son of a bitch.
This one seems to be about sense.
Here's something that's going to blow your mind.
I don't have.
You're on the goddamn
Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, boy, this will be fun.
Just pass it around.
Rock and roll, hoochie-coo.
I don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Is Don on the phone?
I just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
You guys did a good job tonight.
Impressive.
I can't wait
you
to do it for real. That was a good warm-up.
Yes, very good warm-ups. Yeah.
You, in the ponytail, is this what you want? Is this what any of you want?
What we want is what you got. Period. Time for you to leave, asshole.
Woo. Great piece, my man.
Thank you very much.
You nailed it.
Yeah, I usually do. Thank you, man.
Nailed it.
Really, I appreciate that, Derek. Thanks, my man.
Woo. My man.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's how we do.